Hello, we're from the Workout episode 43 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. I'm as normal your host, Chris Litscombe. I am joined this week by a returning legend, man who has finally got his internet fixed and has a ridiculous amount of internet now, Peter Chapman. Say hello, Peter.
Hello, I am back once again for the Renegade Master.
Deeper disaster, I don't know.
Deeper disaster.
Default damager.
It's like a really morbid...
it's like a kids. Really middle-class version of it. Default disaster.
A for apocalypse.
As you can also hear,
we're joined.
I nearly said H for Holocaust, but that's probably going too far, isn't it?
I think it would probably be in there in the alphabet of horrors.
C for catastrophe.
There you go.
As you can hear, Kev is also here. Say hello, Kev.
Hiya!
As is Lewis. Say hello, Lewis.
Hello.
If you don't know what everyone does by this point, Jesus, I'm not going to repeat it every fucking
Yeah, don't week. You know what I do? God.
No one knows what you do.
Don't you know who I am?
Right. Starting things off in the news. Xbox 10 is a rumoured thing. The next Xbox, next year.
Big news, they're going to make another Xbox.
Yeah, but the big news is that rumoured for Christmas 2012 is kind of the biggest thing about this.
What's the 10
Xbox
thing?
10? Yeah, what happened to 1 to 9?
I don't know, it's just called Xbox 10, this is the rumour.
Well, the current one's the 360, so where's the other 359?
Yeah.
They all got the red ring.
Oh, oh dear. Good new joke there.
Yep. I'm bringing
Welcome
that one back.
Welcome back, Peter.
We have missed you.
See, they either need to have a 4 in it to compete with the PlayStation 4. If they go 10, Sony can't make the PlayStation 10, because that wouldn't make any sense. But Microsoft...
It doesn't make sense that Microsoft are making a 10.
No, but Microsoft have got themselves into a point where the 360 was just a random name.
I think, so they can just to be honest, you're probably thinking too much into it. Like, it's going to be about as much called 10 as Kinect is called Natal. Like, it's just going to be a thing,
yeah,
isn't
that's
it?
True. But well, that's the reason the 360 is the 360 is because they wanted to compete with the PS3, so they just have a 3 in the name.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's the actual reason they picked it.
Hmm.
And plus, you can rotate it 360 degrees.
That's true. You can put it anyway down, really.
Just like all other objects, really.
Yeah, but the little circle still lights up in the right dimensions.
Mug 360 here, yeah, all the way around. Whee.
Yeah. I wouldn't exactly do that with a cup full of stuff, though.
Oh, it's alright. Yeah, that's a previously used teacup.
I'm now concerned what Lewis keeps in his cup.
Anyway,
a cup full of stuff.
Anyway, the 10. Yeah, I agree. It's probably just like a development name. What do we think about the Christmas 2012 rumors, though?
Surely
can't be true.
I think we would have heard something at E3, like even if it wasn't just like a crazy little tiny teaser, like because
or they'll wait until next year's E3, because then they can go and guess what, it's out this year, so they can make
see the problem is if it's coming out for Christmas 2012, then the only games that will launch with it are first party games, and Microsoft doesn't really do much first party.
Well, that's not necessarily true. There could be a
Minesweeper
in development.
So there'll be Halo 10, Gears of War 10.
But like, well, no, but you look, EA have heavily hinted that they've got the next Xbox 360 dev kits, as have.
No, EA have categorically come out and said they do not have any new Microsoft hardware. And they wouldn't lie to us.
No, of course not. They would never lie.
Yeah, no, everybody's got prototype shit.
Yeah.
Well, all the big publishers. So, yeah it's possible, but very unlikely. It's more likely that they'll announce at this year's E3.
Yeah, I was going to say, it would be bonkers. Unless Microsoft have managed to just, like, leverage every single publisher relationship they have, like, as far as it will go. But that's
literally pulled out
unlikely.
All the stops here, guys. Everyone who's ever owed us anything,
just like just calling every single favor. Bill Gates personally going around, just going, "Look, come on, come on."
You know
on.
That time you walked that old lady across the road? Get her in. We need her.
Yeah.
And to be fair, at this point, if Microsoft had got everybody nailed down, I think BioWare would probably announce it just to piss them off after what they do with Mass Effect.
Yeah,
he's probably out in Africa. He's not doing anything with malaria. He's got shitloads of Microsoft Xbox 10s.
secretly...
They've got the wives of every big publisher's CEO all in a warehouse in Africa.
It just released shaky VHS, keep it a secret or she's not VHS coming home. Footage.
With today's newspaper.
Just keep it under wraps, that's make the games, and your wives will be safe.
Because that's what modern games hardware is missing, a little bit of kidnapping.
I've always said that. Always said that.
Exactly. And then Sony will send in ninjas to rescue them. And that's how they'll be able to trust with the publishers. Sony will be like, now we rescued your wives, now you trust us.
Ninjas
make games
great,
for PS5.
Right.
That's what brought Gabe Newell across.
Yep. They saved his wife from Microsoft.
Yeah. Sony rescued his wife from a kidnap situation.
Oh, that's exactly why. It's clear.
That's what happened. Games for Windows Live wasn't going well, so they kidnapped Gabe Newell's missus.
It's the only
but
possible
Sony
reason.
Only rescued them under the proviso that he then jumped ship.
Yeah, exactly. And took everything back. No, I don't know. It wasn't me who said the PS3 was rubbish. It wasn't me. Some other bloke called Gabe Newell. It wasn't me.
Peter Griffin. Isn't he Gabe Newell?
Yeah, basically. I've never thought about that. They are remarkably similar.
Yeah, God, I hate that PS3. That was rubbish. I'm really sorry.
That was a really bad... Yeah, that was awful.
I'm really sorry. I thought I could do it in my head. I tried it in my head. It worked out fine. Tried it out loud. That was a completely untested. I'm sorry.
Never mind, Kev. Mm. Don't be too harsh on him, listeners. He's taking a chance.
Yeah.
Taking a chance and failing miserably.
But yeah, so I think the
well,
general
score,
is
point and laugh
that an Xbox in 2012 is very unlikely.
Yeah, they'll probably just push Kinect all next year and Halo 4.
The only way I could see it working is if Halo 4 is secretly a new Xbox launch title, because then it would just sell ridiculous numbers of consoles.
Maybe
if they don't call it the next box. I'm going to fall out.
Maybe Xbox 10 is the name of a game that they're developing from the Xbox 360. And so they were going to release a game called Xbox 10 next year.
Which was
just
be
like 10 pin bowling. Is it Kinect 10 pin bowling? That'd be rubbish.
No, it's like Minecraft, but you have to like build a console.
Yes.
And then when they get like when there's like 1,000 people that have completed it, they just pick the best one and make that.
It actually comes with a peripheral that's like a 3D printer. And once you've done that, you can just make... Yeah.
Oh. It sounds like a Blue Peter competition.
Yeah, the first game's going to be Tracy Island from... What were they called? The Thunderbirds?
They're called Here's What I Made Earlier.
I would buy that. If they launch with Tracy Island, I'm in there.
What are we even talking about?
They launch from Tracy Island.
Yes. Oh, man. That'd be amazing.
The big red button.
Just Xboxes delivered.
Go for launch.
Xboxes are go.
Do you pre-order...
The next box.
Bad bitch.
Wow, it's making a comeback. I think Peter's brought it back with him.
I adore the way that's entered parlance.
I thought you were going to say parliament then. I was like, what have I missed?
Who's oh, yeah. That? There's a new bill being passed.
Miliband stood up. Cameron, don't be such a spabbage.
I imagine if Miliband turned out to be a podcast listener.
That'd be amazing.
Hi, Dave.
Oh.
Ed, whichever
that's
one.
That's all someone needs. Someone just needs to go to Italy and just tell them all to stop being spabbages. Oh, Eurozone would be perfectly
be sorted.
Fine.
Sorted.
I wonder if that user called Spabbage still listens to
I
the podcast.
I bet he doesn't.
And if he's offended by us constantly mocking his chosen
he,
username.
To be fair, the last did, time I ever saw comment. Him was that one going, yeah, cheers.
cheers for that, guys. I call my brother Spabbage.
No one ever heard from him again.
It's probably his actual name.
His actual name is Spabbage. I called my brother a Spabbage and he was like, nah, don't call me a Spabbage. Which made me laugh.
Joking aside, Chris, come on. No Spabbage talk, please.
Anyway, moving on from ridiculous, probably untrue Microsoft rumours. Modern Warfare 3 user reviews on Metacritic are a fucking joke.
User reviews in general?
Yeah. Why? Well, until like a couple of weeks after release.
Even then, user reviews don't... user reviews do not adequately reflect the quality of anything that they review.
That's true.
Because when you get that many people, I mean, look at the movie reviews on Love Film, for example.
Yeah.
When there's like 15,000 people that have rated a film, it always has between 3 and 4
stars.
Yeah,
that's true.
Plus, most
because
people
they just average out.
Only do it if they want to slag it off.
Yeah, I think
yeah, well, that's the other thing. It sort of polarizes.
I think the thing is They need to adopt the sort of like the Amazon system where you can't rate it unless you write a review, because that would just stop so many people just randomly spamming it.
Hmm.
Like, I think you'd still get issues, but it wouldn't be nearly as bad.
Like IMDb. Just ignore IMDb's rating system.
Yeah.
When people start giving things like fucking Step Up 2, like 8 out of
10. I don't know, Step Up 2 is pretty good. I mean, it's not the best Step Up movie, but...
I think my favourite Metacritic review for Modern Warfare 3 is... critics say one thing, people who paid $60 for the game say otherwise. Trust me, this is not worth your time. Skyrim and Assassin's Creed are coming out soon, so get those.
That's it.
It gets a naught. So, the review is get some other games.
A naught. A naught to me is this is not actually a game.
A naught to me is I probably haven't played this game, which I think is fair in this case.
Well, no, but I've always said, although we have a formal definition of what a one, like a 1 out of 10 is on TSC, I can't remember what the actual is because we've gone that low. But like a one is, okay, yes, this is technically a game. Like I put it into my 360 and it didn't catch on fire. So a naught is surely, yeah, it just bricked my system.
A naught to me says Microsoft have my wife.
Yeah. Oh man, I hope Microsoft, if Microsoft PR ever listens to this, we're just fucked. That's our relationship with Microsoft gone.
And the chances are very high, I imagine.
Yeah, well, absolutely. They're tuning in their droves.
Yeah, really are.
Obviously.
Them, Cameron, Miliband, they're all listening.
To be fair, though, I wouldn't be saying all this about Microsoft if Sony didn't have my wife.
Yeah, so it's all turned out. If Microsoft were to save your wife,
they need to send in the pirates.
Nintendo, on the other hand, have stolen your dog.
My dog's sitting here next to me.
Hi.
He's in his bed.
Poochie.
Because he's got a poorly
leg. How's his leg? Is he better?
He's called Bobby.
How's his leg doing?
All right, he's putting it down a little bit now, but he still limps.
Oh, wow.
I still call him Tripod.
Oh.
Because he's only got three legs.
People call me Tripod. they don't, I'm sorry.
Is that because you've got a very skinny neck?
Yes. No, because I carry a camera tripod everywhere I go.
Not a camera, just the tripod.
Yeah. If I ever need a stable platform on which to lean.
You're sorted, really.
Exactly.
Yeah, so...
Very low down.
So, although Modern Warfare 3's user reviews might be a joke, our review of Modern Warfare 3 isn't. Probably. I don't know. When this comes out... The review.
Don't speak too soon.
When this comes out, the review will have gone out. But as we're recording it right now, Peter is finishing it off. Like not during the podcast, after the podcast.
Well, I'm just going to post 12 screenshots of Battlefield 3.
What score are you going to give it?
I think I have given it 8
just
out of 10.
Just for single player.
For the single player.
And multiplayer review next week, I would imagine, at some point from Matt.
Well, yeah, Matt's doing that.
We gave somebody who actually knows how to play multiplayer games, because we don't.
Rather than just running away and crying.
Yeah. If me, Peter, or Alex had played Modern Warfare 3 online, we've got 0. We'd just been like, I don't know what the fuck this is. What am I doing?
See, when I have to do multiplayer stuff online, I generally spend about 4 or 5 hours just hating myself.
Look,
and that's a view which is reinforced by everybody that I can hear in my headset.
Just as a quick query before we talk about Modern Warfare 3 properly, why are you getting buried in Xbox 360 headsets?
They keep arriving in the post.
Please just like our headsets. Please review it positively here. Have another one.
To be perfectly honest, I don't know where they're coming from.
Well, do they not come with a note from PR or anything?
No,
they're coming from North Africa.
Absolutely. Yeah, they've all been created by those CEO boys. I've no idea. I just got a padded envelope this week that had two headsets in it, and
a
new controller.
Are they just normal headsets?
No, it's a Modern Warfare 3 wireless thing. But then they sent me the same wireless headset a few weeks ago. Somebody sent me the same wireless headset a couple of weeks ago. And then the other thing is like a stereo, it's the Gears of War 3 stereo headphones thing.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know where these are coming from.
Because you got the throat mic a little while ago. Maybe that's why, because you reviewed that throat mic.
That's true, I did. But again, I'm not entirely sure where that came from. I think that might have come from Microsoft.
You hope? Or it's just...
You see, Microsoft send me promo code, and it always comes in the same sort of envelope with like this, a sticker with my address on it, but it doesn't have a compliment slip or anything in with it. They just arrive, and I get like two or three games in a padded envelope.
Okay.
Mike, that's, give yourself.
That's not weird at all. It's just like games mysteriously arriving.
Yeah, no, that's how it works. And then... But now these things arrived and they didn't look like they were from the same people.
Maybe it's like...
And they were both posted on the same day. Yeah. And they were both posted from different places.
So someone is just sending you at random.
So it would seem.
Is one of them from Reading?
Well, it's nice to know someone's got your address.
Yes, the Microsoft stuff is all from Reading.
If one of them is Reading post stamp, at least you know where that's come from. But
yeah. So I think the Modern Warfare thing, I think, came from Reading. The Gears of War thing came in a brown... envelope, and it wasn't even, you know, like envelopes that are lined with bubble paper, bubble wrap. It wasn't one of those. It was one of the ones that's like lined with carpet, so it's like a padded envelope, but it's, they're supposed to be like eco-friendly, but they're shit.
It has luxury
with carpet.
It feels like it's got carpet. In between the two bits of the envelope.
Essentially what you're saying is your idea of carpet is recycled paper.
That says a lot about Peter's home.
Yeah, we have no carpets in our home. It's all
recycled paper,
floor and stuff. Yeah, it's all recycled paper. Just shredded up jiffy bags, to be honest.
Do you live in a hamster's cage?
Yes.
Oh, obviously.
Yes, I make my bedding in one corner and I make toilet in the other corner. So yeah, I'm getting headsets sent to me. I have no idea where they're coming from or what I'm supposed to do with them or if I'm meant to be reviewing them or who knows. We'll see, but it's really the wrong time of year to be sending me extra shit out of the blue to
review. When you don't review it, you'll just get...
Nothing else is really happening at the moment, is it? So.
You'll just get an email from PR at some point saying, why haven't you reviewed this? And then you'll figure out who the hell it came from.
Yeah. Probably.
Anyway.
So have you looked at the site? We don't really review hardware at all.
No, I try not to. Well, they send us hardware. I did the new Xbox controller because they sent me that with the twisty directional pad thing. And then I did that throat mic thing. But I don't like giving hardware a score because I think that's...
No, we never score.
Well, it's a bit contrived. Like, yes, this is a good 8. This piece of plastic.
So what I tend to try and do is just sort of write about how good it is or how bad it is but not like there's no structure to it. It's just like, well, yeah, this is what I thought of it. That throat mic they sent that was Gears of War 3 was shit. I think I ended up putting that in the bin.
Surely any throat mic is going to... Let me just demonstrate with this microphone here. Surely that's all you're going to get from a throat mic.
Makes you sound like Moira Stewart with a head in the back.
Yes.
Either that or Stephen Hawking. One of those. Coming right for us. That one. One from South Park.
Yeah, I know the one. It's coming right for us.
Yeah, no, that was rubbish though, because it was made for people with tiny little necks.
Yeah. Not tree trunk necks like your own.
No, not me and my huge fat neck.
Yeah, you're a beast of a man.
I've got a neck like Gabriel. Anyway,
Modern Warfare 3, the actual game, not random hardware you've been sent about the game.
Okay.
Is it any good?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably about an 8 out of 10.
Anything else?
I really, really liked it. There are issues with it because it's the game engine's very old now and it's starting to show its age. But and it's very similar to previous games in the Modern Warfare series. But then it kind of gives you a bit of a knowing wink and acknowledges that it's quite similar. Halfway through the game, there's a moment that's a bit like, oh, maybe they understand that they're doing this very similar to Modern Warfare 2.
Well, that's why the characters turn to the camera and goes, feels like we've been here before. Wink.
Oh, another fine mess.
Oh, if it was like that, I would play Modern Warfare 3. I'd be like, oh, it's amazing. It just take...
It was basically a Laurel and Hardy movie.
Taking the piss out of itself.
What was the name of the bloke that founded Infinity Ward and then left?
West and Zampella were the two guys that were the...
They probably just named a couple of characters after them and then get them shot.
Yeah.
They probably just go like, damn it, man, you're in control of your own actions. And then they turn to the camera and go, or are you? That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, no. But it is, I thought it was very enjoyable. And it's what, I mean, it's Modern Warfare. It's what you expect. It's also, it's the third game in a trilogy. And I mean, you don't, for example, Uncharted 3 so far, I've only played the first few chapters of that, but it's not, it doesn't do anything new. It just does what they perfected in the second one really well. And that's kind of what Modern Warfare 3 does. Mm. It's very much the third installment in a trilogy.
I've only played about four levels of Modern Warfare 3 at the moment. And it's no secret that I'm not a particularly big COD fan. I'm really enjoying it though. I think the guns feel a lot weightier. And I like the fact that the enemy, you don't need to plow an entire sort of round of ammunition into an enemy for it to die. It feels very realistic and very sort of refined to me anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't have that sort of bullet sponge thing about it really.
No.
And that's for the whole game as well. The enemies don't get tougher as you go on, really. It just gets to be more of them.
It does still look very, it's too crisp and clean. Like Killzone 3 and, Killzone 2 and 3 and Battlefield seem to have like a gritty haze to them, which give it a better look, in my opinion. Makes it look more realistic, whereas Modern Warfare is just too clean and crisp.
Well, this is it. Modern Warfare, it doesn't have the filters and the post-processing.
No.
Stuff that like Killzone 3 had, but what it has is 60 frames per second.
Yeah. Yep.
And that makes a massive difference for that kind of shooter.
So was the original...
But yeah, I really enjoyed it.
The original Call of Duty was sort of World War, wasn't it? World War 2.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So they're going to go Future Warfare next? Where can they take it from here?
It's going
to be super past.
Well, the Modern Warfare series is set in a few years in the future. Yeah. I don't know. I will say that this feels very much like it's going to be the last Modern Warfare game.
Yeah, that's what
game.
I was thinking. Like, it doesn't feel like they can really take it any further than this.
They're just going to go super past. It will be like fighting in the Napoleonic Wars.
With muskets.
That'd be pretty cool.
And blunderbusses.
You have to run up to a range of like 10 feet to shoot someone.
Yeah. Come on, how many... No other game has done that.
It'd be the American Civil War.
It'd be such...
That's because it would be shit.
I was going to say, probably with good reason.
It'd be such a change as well. Can you imagine it? Like
reload five minutes
later.
Yeah, exactly.
The speed of like Modern Warfare compared to, okay, I've shot someone, right. And
instead of a melee kill, your melee button just takes your glove off and slaps you. Yeah.
I challenge you to a duel. And you have to meet 3 days later at noon.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Spectators.
The co-op multiplayer is just that one of you has to hold the gun case.
See? That'd be great. And you
I want to play that game.
You can.
Oh, if anybody from Infinity Ward's listening, you can have that one for free.
Yeah.
It'd be brilliant. You can have class based, you can have like the guys running the cannons and shit.
Yeah, the cannon loaders. Yeah. The guy with the little brush
the
that pushes down.
Is that one of the classes? Just the guy pushing the brush down.
Yeah, no, you don't actually get to shoot. Whoa, hands off. There's the other part.
You're not qualified to pull the trigger on this.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. I would definitely play that.
You heard it here first. I have just... Call of Duty 7 musket firing man.
Warfare.
Musket warfare. We discussed talking about a new story which we decided we weren't going to talk about. I've just seen something on IGN that might change
that. Was it just the Uncharted sold lots?
Yes. We were going to talk about Uncharted 3 selling nearly 4 million copies. And then we said we probably couldn't really because it's shipped, and shipped doesn't really mean sold. So it's not
also
really...
Also, there's not a lot you can say beyond there were lots
of... This is true. But apparently IGN have spoken to Sony, and Sony said no, that 3.8 million copies were sold to customers.
But didn't someone else talk to Sony earlier in the day, and they said shipped earlier in the day? That's why we updated our story.
Well, Sony always say sold when they announce things, and they always mean shipped.
Yeah.
So that might have been an assumption. That was the assumption that we made, and then we've tried to check, but nobody's got back to us. But obviously IGN have a bit more sway than we do.
Yeah.
So I imagine that they got directly on the bat phone to Jack Tretton, and he's told them that no, it's sold.
But
So there you go. And Uncharted 3 sells shitloads.
I think...
yep, and it's first day.
Top Gear Sam, who's a TSA member and Twitter user, sums it up quite well by saying, well, whatever, it's still really impressive. So regardless of shit still sold.
Well, no, shit...
Yeah, and they're not shipping it in the hope that someone will buy it. They're shipping them because people are ordering it.
Yeah, they don't just ship them at random. They're not just like, how much you want to send that store? unless... This is legitimately what happened this week with Marvel. Marvel decided retailers had not ordered enough of a book and overshipped.
Yeah, I
put this in my email earlier. They overshipped the book by 100% to every retailer because they decided retailers had not ordered enough of it.
So they just sent them double.
Yes, for no extra charge. They went, no, you haven't. You've underestimated this book. Have some more. Everyone was just
that's
like
business sense
no
right
extra
there.
Charge.
What book was it?
It's Point One, which is basically it's a $6 book, and essentially it's a preview book for the next year's worth of Marvel storylines for $6.
Okay.
And I was like, the other six. Do you know what the other $6 book that came out this week was? 100-page, really well written Batman story.
Okay.
So those are the two options for your $6. And I went, well, I can't really afford a $6 book anyway, and I really don't want Point One until the guy, who is quite lovely at my local comic shop, I do spend a lot of money there, went, oh, now you can just have it, because they sent us all these extra
today,
ones.
Today, I learned that that comic shop has an upstairs.
Yeah, it does. Did you not know this?
That's the adult section.
That's where all the DC and Marvel comics are kept, actually.
It's where all the hentai's kept.
I was going to say, how were you getting comics before
now?
Well,
the thing is, like, the only comic I'd bought for myself up until this point was the Justice League ones, which were on a promo stand in the bottom floor. So, like, I've just kind of gone and go, oh,
yeah,
can I have
there's an entire second.
Did you not go in and think, well, this is a bit of a shit comic bookshop? They've only got one promo stand.
Well, where's the DC and Marvel?
Yeah. I'd just never really given it much consideration, to be honest.
Yeah, there's an entire second floor, which is kind of like where all the. It's where we get all the really geeky comic book nerds go upstairs.
They've got a little couch and some reading copies as well. It's lovely.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's really well done. It's such a nice shop. I love it.
Some reading copies? But the other one's just for looking at.
I presume it's just so they don't all get greasy geek fingerprints all over.
I know what you meant.
And also, like most of the DC books, for some reason, they're selling all their DC books sealed because they're trying to... I think part of it's like collector's items kind of thing. But if you buy anything that's not a brand new DC book, it's always sealed, which is weird.
Okay.
They bag it up in the shop. But I got fucking enraged because I was like, oh, Avenging Spider-Man's out this week. I might want to buy this. Oh, it's polybagged. We're polybagging is when Marvel go, there's something special about this. We're going to seal it. But normally they seal it to hide a plot element or something. But because it's got like a free code in it, they've sealed it. They've sealed it in clear plastic. So it's like, I can see the comic, but I can't tell if it's any good.
Mm.
I hate you, Marvel. I hate you so much.
I buy all my comics digitally now.
Well, that's also awesome. It's got a free digital code, so I can get the digital copy for free.
Oh, yes. I noticed they'd started doing that.
Yeah, only for Avenging Spider-Man so far, but it's interesting.
Why would you need it if you've got the physical thing as well? I mean, I agree.
Well,
it's like
having a CD and saying, why would you rip that to MP3?
Yeah, well, I suppose it's just in case you're in the park, because Lewis doesn't let you read books in the park.
But you're allowed to look like you're texting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, if you're really geeky about your comics, you'd keep your comic, your hard copy, nice and
you'd never open it.
Yep.
Other than to get the code, obviously.
You get the code and seal it again. And not just in, like, a plastic sleeve. You'd seal it in, like, a proper, like, block of plastic.
Perspex.
Yeah, sealed in Perspex.
Just float it in laser-etched Perspex.
And then put that Perspex in one of those vacuum bags.
Yes, exactly. Double sealed.
And then bury that in the garden.
Just after putting it in the oven to sort of shrink wrap it.
Comic talk there. We'll come back to comic talk a little
bit. Do you know, an interesting fact.
Talking of comic book characters.
I had an interesting fact about burying things in the garden.
I'm going to let you tell you.
Some say four people is too many, but, you know.
What was your interesting fact?
During the Great Fire of London, Samuel Pepys, that wrote Pepys, is that how it's properly pronounced? I'm never sure.
Yes.
Samuel Pepys, that wrote the
diaries.
He buried cheese in his garden.
Yeah. Oh. That's what I was about to say that.
Why did he do that?
He buried cheese in his back garden.
Because it was very expensive. Yeah. It came all the way from Italy. And in those days, things that came all the way from Italy cost a lot of money.
Yeah, you couldn't just nip down to the supermarket and get some more.
Which is probably why they weren't so badly in debt in those days.
Yeah.
Expensive cheese.
That's what we need, really.
Well, although, to be fair, the time of the Great Fire Run was roughly when they were hugely in debt, and there was a run on every single bank, and basically almost every bank went bankrupt, and which is when we moved away from using gold to back currency and went to the value of a country backing currency.
It was also a country riddled with the bubonic plague at the time, so the fire was actually a kind of a relief from that, really, because it killed off the disease-bearing rats. So, good news all round, really, other than the Great Fire part.
There you go.
Only one person died in the Great Fire of London.
Really? Hmm.
That's the fact. I think Stephen Fry may argue with that, but I think
I'd say about Kev's fact about the bubonic plague dying out because it killed all the rats. That doesn't explain why it died out in the rest of Europe as well.
Well,
yeah, because the daddy rats were in London.
The reason the bubonic plague died out is the reason most plagues die out is they're too efficient and they kill off all the carriers before they can transmit it to a new person. Basically, when an illness gets too good, it kills itself.
All right, it's Einstein.
Depressing life being an illness. If you're really good at being at your job, you fucking end up dying.
Tell that to HIV.
Shit.
Oh dear. If you could, I'd like to have a word with HIV. Yeah.
You're obviously not doing a good enough job to have a word. Still right.
Not a big fan, to be honest.
No.
I've seen your work. I don't care for it.
Boo you.
Well, anyway, there's literally no way for me to segue now. So, Kev, you've been playing DCU online.
That is true. I have. It's all right. It's all right. You know, it's no Batman. It's quite difficult not to compare it to, because I've literally jumped to DC Universe, and it contains Batman. So,
yeah, they both have Batman in them.
I think with every MMO that's ever been made without other people in it that you know. It's not ever going to be as fun because the technology, they spent too much, and you know, arguably so, spent too much making the technology to actually connect all these players to each other. They obviously have to make sacrifices when it comes to, you know, gameplay or at least combat systems and just the way everything works. It's all still very PC-like.
And yeah, and they have to make compromise on the amount of Batman in it.
Exactly, just one. Just the one Batman allowed.
Yeah.
Unlike, you know, the comics.
Batman fucking everywhere in comics.
But yeah.
There's an entire corporation now of Batman.
Yeah, in South Africa or somewhere.
Well, no, it's Batman Inc. There's Batmans everywhere now. That's the whole point.
Batwing? Is that what it's called?
Batwing is the African one, and then there's...
So comics will be later on.
Yeah.
DC Universe Online. It is good. Like... It's what you're not happy with the wear.
Nothing. That's fine. Carry on,
Chris, you know.
Rude.
You'll have your moment. I genuinely think that it'd be really good fun with other people that you know. Although I think I'm right in saying that if you don't pay for it, you don't get voice chat. You only get text chat, which is
that's
a bit
quite
of a
rubbish
idea. Because PlayStation doesn't exactly lend itself to have text chat, does it?
So, it doesn't have cross-game chat, so...
This is true.
Annoying.
That might get a bit frustrating. But, I've made myself a little character. Yes, he's
I would like to be the voice.
Basically, the guy from The Incredibles. I made a black guy who's like an ice-wielding, blue-suit-wearing guy. So he's essentially the guy from The Incredibles. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Frozo.
Yeah, I know the guy you mean. Yeah, Frozen.
Guy's called
Samuel L. Motherfucking Jackson.
He's not called that. My guy is called Quick Frost, I believe, because he's a speedster as well as being an ice user.
That's an exceptionally apt name.
Yeah. I tried to go from the DC school of naming things really obviously. Oh, who's this? Batman.
Well, it's just kind of
why is it called that?
Yeah, it's kind of just the comics school. Although I always think Marvel's a little less obvious than DC is. DC is very on the nose with stuff.
Wonder Woman, Superman. It's all So yeah, Quick Frost. I did try and go for something else first, but it was taken. Speed Bolt, Freeze Bolt. That was my original than my original.
I prefer Quick Frost.
Quick Frost is a better.
Yeah, I'm quite happy I had to rethink it, to be honest. I was more pleased with Quick Frost.
You're looking back at Freezebolt now and going, why did I think of that?
Yeah, and today I came across.
Whoever's got that taken as a loser.
I actually was doing a mission with Flash earlier with my guy and Flash, which is quite cool because obviously they're NPCs, the actual characters.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, because I've just been reading Flash comic as well, like it was quite nice. I felt like I was actually part of the universe, which I was kind of worried that maybe you wouldn't feel that immersed. But it's nice, you know, Superman phones you up on the little radio. He's like, you're doing a great job. Keep going. You're great job. I think the dialogue's slightly better written.
Cheers for the patronizing tone, Superman. Yeah. Now fuck off.
It's a little annoying that there isn't any voice acting for your own characters. Because obviously, I guess there's too much of a range. They'd have to have about like 6 different duplicate versions of the dialogue.
And also, you're supposed to do it yourself.
Well, yeah. But like in cutscenes with the characters and things, you'd maybe hope for something.
Do it yourself.
And sort of when you choose, when you're creating your character, you choose your character's kind of personality, and that all that does is what their stance is when they're idle. that's the entire. So like, I can't remember what it was. It's kind of like cheeky. I think they call it flirty, my guy. But he basically stands with his hands on his hip and his leg half cocked. It's just like, you know, it wasn't really what I was going for. Just kind of wanted him to be a cheeky chappy, so some good comebacks, like, but.
Looks vaguely like a cheap hooker.
A little bit. Although, yeah, also a large black man. So.
A pimp?
Yeah. Well, yeah, fine. So I was fighting Grog. I think he's called Grog. Chris, you might know.
Grog is a character, yeah.
A monkey man.
Yeah, that'd be the one.
Racist.
Yeah. No, he's an actual...
He is a man monkey, I should have said.
No, to be fair, he's a gorilla, but...
Yeah, a man ape.
Well.
Yeah. that was one of what they call the iconic battles, where you're actually fighting against people from the comics universe. Mm. It's all okay. Like, it's not going to ever... blow you away, but I really think the joy in any MMO is getting people together and playing it at the same time, because you just don't really get that.
To be fair, blowing away that is where cheap hookers come in.
But you did try to get us together, but then we all said we were busy or didn't have it yet.
Or Lewis just ignored me.
Yeah.
What?
Lewis didn't even reply.
On what?
Twitter.
I've deleted Twitter from my phone. I've had a bad couple of days.
Oh. I just got angry at Twitter. You're gone now. No longer in my life.
So anyway,
I can't hate you anymore, Lewis.
Sometimes that's a good idea.
Yeah. I deleted Twitter from my phone today, but only because I've got 3 Twitter clients on my phone now, so I deleted a couple of them. Because I thought 3 notifications for every message I was getting was probably a little much.
You just wanted to look popular.
Oh, all these notifications. I can't handle it. Oh, God. Another one. No, but Humble I do think that the 4 of us should try and have a little DCU session before next podcast, because it might be fun to talk about when it's not just me.
I'd try and download 15 gigs of...
Yeah. Has anyone actually played it?
No, I downloaded it. And then it got to a bit where it was asking me what server I wanted to join, PvP?
PvE or PvP.
Yeah, and I got to that bit and went, oh, hold on, I'm going to pick one of these and it's going to be the one that nobody else I know is on. And that's going to be locked away.
I went for PvE because I didn't know what the system is. Can people just come up to you and attack you in PvP, or is it an area? I don't know.
I have no idea. I don't know what those things mean.
Player versus enemy or player versus player.
Ah.
In terms of the battles that happen.
So I assume then the player versus player will be much more difficult.
Exactly, which is why I went for PvE to start with, so it was AI. And not particularly bright AI at that, but that's MMOs and fairly expected. Because, like I said, it's a shame because I do think that technology has come quite a long way, because I used to play City of Heroes quite a lot. So there's obviously parallels to draw there, but there's probably more parallels than I would have liked, because that's a game that's 7 years old or something. Mm. But no, it's worth a try, and it's free to play. So
I have never played an MMO, and I've never felt the need. The idea of it just doesn't appeal to me at all, but I have to say, recently I've been getting a little bit tempted by this DC Universe stuff, and then the Star Wars thing.
It's in that universe is really nice. It's definitely a draw for it. And also making it free, I think, because there's plenty of micro transaction type stuff in there that you can go for if you like it. So I think it's maybe a really sensible thing.
Yeah, well, and they're doing the same with the Star Trek one as well, aren't they, for Christmas?
I was to say, I'm a bit sad that the Star Trek one didn't work out, because that potentially could be massive.
Yeah.
It still exists, it's just free to play.
Well, yeah, they're going free to play.
It got slagged off rotten.
It did, but I think that was I think initially it got slagged off, and then after a month it got patched and actually turned out to be okay. But by that time the damage was done.
Mm.
Which game's this?
Star Trek Online.
Oh. Is that good?
Apparently it wasn't good when it launched. but it's going free to play now after Christmas, I think. January the 17th or something.
I do like to sing Star Trek theme tunes.
Mm.
I won't do it. Just for posterity's sake, that's not me. So.
And just for clearance, that's not Star Trek.
That's totally the first. That's the original series.
So, if you say so, Chris. It sounded like you were having a stroke.
And not in a medical sense.
God, that's a disturbing. Chris hums the original Star Trek theme tune to himself when he's going.
While he's playing his pheromone.
Tire roll.
You mean a theremin?
Anything else to say about DCU?
Yes, I did mean theremin. I did mean theremin.
Well, he's playing his
pheromones. I was thinking of pheromones at the same time.
Mr. Adset, anything to say about DC Universe Online?
No, I haven't really said much about it, to be honest.
Anything else? No? You good?
It's good, but I really think that the best experience will lie in playing it with other people.
All right, well, we will try and play it by next week. No promises.
It's needy.
It's hard to play with. I'm lonely. It's
guilty us. Are you not playing with Kevatron?
He is Kevatron.
Kevling. I was trying to make sure.
No, that tweet that he said was at 8 o'clock just now. So.
Oh, okay. I know. I thought you might have been playing with him before that.
I haven't.
He was playing with it before that, but not on Batman.
You can be the Kevs. Kev Squad.
Wow, thanks. That's so unnoticeable about us.
Ha ha ha, you've got the same name.
Kevin.
Oh, no one's ever actually mistaken us before.
I didn't mean like that. I just meant in the game. You could make...
Yeah, Kev Squad.
Are they like clans or something like that?
There are, but you have to be a subscribing member to create one. You can join one as a free member,
That sounds rubbish.
I think Kevling's probably a subscribing member.
Good.
Probably.
Can he make a... Yeah. A TSA supergroup posse crew.
No, just the Kev Squad one.
We should all chip in and split the 15 quid a month fee.
Speak for yourself.
Is it 15 quid a month?
Yeah. It's not. It's $14 a month.
Oh.
Which isn't quite the same.
And then there's another tier above that as well that's even more money.
No, that's the top tier, the $14. There's also like a $5 one. If you spend over $5 in game, then you get sort of automatically upgraded to the next tier. But $14 a month is the most you will pay.
Okay.
Surely it makes more sense to then just spend $5.
Yeah, but you don't get as much as you would as a full subscriber, but it's like a halfway between free and full.
In between. Okay, Lewis, film competition.
Okay. Let me just grab my iPad. I don't know if you know, but I do this on my iPad.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Speakers aren't that nice, aren't they?
Yeah, really good.
Oh, that's an old callback.
that's like podcast one.
Yeah, that's bringing it way back.
Long-term listener.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm eating a brownie at the same time as speaking.
But I would point out, this doesn't happen to anyone.
Does that Kayla know?
I was going to go for Kayla. Another racist comment, but...
What?
Who's Kayla?
Kayla, you said you're eating a brownie.
Yeah.
I have no idea
what's
happening.
Who's
Kayla? Arkayla leads Cubs and Brownies and Scouts, the Arkayla of the group.
Sorry, you've lost me.
It's all based on Jungle Book references.
I'm very disappointed that you didn't get my paedophilia-laced joke.
I'm actually quite pleased I didn't.
But that would have only made any sense anyway, because Brownies are brown now, not Arkayla.
All right. I didn't know you were actually in the guides.
Yeah, I was going to say, Chris, slightly too much inside knowledge of the Brownies system.
My mum used to run Brownies and Guides.
Yeah, of course she did. You used to go dressed up.
Like a pimp.
Yeah.
No. And then she used to make me go camping with them. It was rubbish because
I bet it was.
It was rubbish because you weren't allowed to touch them.
No, it was fucking shit because basically She took me along. She went, yeah, you can come camp. And my job was to carry stuff for like 3 days. It was like, oh, we need something heavy carried. Chris, will you come over here and carry this for us? Like, oh, great. Thanks, Mum. So that was nice.
See, you think that's funny? I got my ass groped by a pupil the other day, and it was like reverse paedophilia. I was so creeped out. It's like...
Did you press charges?
I had to write a file note.
Was it a boy or a girl?
It was a boy. I was so shocked.
Wow. You were hit with the boys.
Okay, last week I played you this piece of music. That was, of course, the original Star Trek theme. no, that was, of course, E.T. theme tune.
I studied that for AS level music.
Good for you. We also...
well signed.
Did you?
Yeah. I know it well.
And what,
right
what
through
did...
to its perfect cadence.
I was going to say, what did you deduce?
Nothing. Failed. Yeah.
Okay.
I did very well in my A's.
I received.
Yeah, you did very well in your play degree. Overachieving.
Sorry, Chris. All I could hear was bitterness and I hate you.
I'm very bitter.
I got 6 correct answers. So could one of you give me a number between 1 and 6?
Nope.
Yeah, apparently not.
Okay. I'll tell you what, Chris. 3. Chris, give me a number between 1 and 3.
2.
Okay, Peter, give me a number between 1 and 6.
3.
Okay, the winner is Leo Yao, who's won before.
Congratulations, Leo. Yay.
Well done. And see, Chris was picking which one of you picked which one of them. Now Kev is going to pick which DVD they've won. So Kev, give me a number between 1 and 5.
I'm going to go 4. I've said it.
You're going to go for 4.
I'm going to go 4, yeah.
That is Training Day. Oh. Brilliant film.
I've not seen it. Oh.
It is a good film.
Great film.
Is it just like a documentary, like in an office where they just have a flip chart and some motivational speaker?
Yeah, it's no you used to get those days off school.
Yeah. Oh, wow, they were good.
They show
days.
You how to use the photocopier.
Yep. How to be a better employee.
So well done, Leo. You have won Training Day. So I will send that to you. And we need to shout out to Joachim Mon, who got it correct. Chris Armstrong, who got it correct, and he also claims that he shazams a lot of the competitions, which just means you're a great big cheater.
He's now disqualified from ever entering again.
That's Mugsy Ballone. Andrew Farrington, Fazalax, he also got it correct.
Regulars.
Yep, Mr. Shades, Rimjaw, he got it correct. And Josh Clayton, he got it correct as well. He's Moshbag.
Well done, everybody.
Huzzah.
Although, if you're listening and you haven't entered the competition yet, you do hear the same names, sort of 6 names entering every time. Yeah. So you're only giving them a better chance of winning. So if you enter, then, you know, who knows what could happen.
Exactly.
Well, there'll be more entries, that's what would happen.
Yeah, exactly.
It couldn't hurt your chances of winning.
Exactly.
I think maybe the problem is that most of the prizes we give away are shit.
Yeah, but that's the fun of it. And in actual fact, it was only Marmaduke that was really shit.
Yeah, it's been a good haul this time around.
Yeah. There's some good films left.
Yeah.
So enter. This week's piece of music is this. If you know what piece of music that is the theme to. 2. What?
And that's still not what you mean.
No, it's not, is it? If you know the film that that piece of music was the theme to, then send me your name, your answer, and full address to lewisgaston@screendemon.com.
I really recognise that music, but I can't place what film it's from. I could probably tell you the composer.
You go on then.
Is it, I can't remember how you say his name, like Enrico Morricone.
It is. Well, I know who you mean, but that's not his name.
But it is that guy.
I know, yeah, I know what you're trying to say, but it's not Enrico.
Oh, okay. What's his name?
Ennio Morricone.
Yeah, yeah. Enrico Morricone.
Didn't he invent the radio?
So, yeah, you might want to edit that out, whoever's editing. Yeah. But yes, it is.
And we'll just leave it in and get more entries.
Yeah, the film it's from is A Fistful of Dollars. There you go.
Oh, good.
Save you the Shazamming trouble. Oh, yeah,
if you enter this week, you actually win a PS3. So,
yeah. There is a little star next to that, and we'll reveal the terms and conditions behind that next week.
Yeah, terms and conditions are, you don't.
Yeah. PS3 may be fictional. Other consoles are available.
Yeah.
Like, should we move on? At least. I watched films. They were moved on.
Let's move really far on. So far
on Friday
that we've moved so far into
three films in a row.
The future.
What? Yes, moved on to the future. When that's I'm how far on
we've moved.
About watching the future.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And also, I watched Ides of March and Red State on Friday at the cinema in a row. It was awesome. I watched like 6 hours of films. It's brilliant. Yeah, so the future.
Did you get loo breaks?
Yeah, it was like, it wasn't a triple bill. It just happened to be there were three films I wanted to watch all in a row. The future is this awesome, really mental film. About this couple who, the whole thing's narrated by a cat, and at
all the best
point,
films are.
And at one point the moon becomes a character.
Yeah, I saw that in the trailer today.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
I've literally never heard of this film other than you.
It's a super rare indie. It's like an indie flick. Right.
Are you sure you didn't just go to the cinema and take drugs?
Yeah.
quite possibly.
I have to say, the only time I've seen the trailer for it was this afternoon, and that was on E4 because it's part of their Slackers Club.
It's properly mental. So it starts out.
Sounds like a trip I had in the late
90s. It starts out.
The cat was talking to him, and the moon became a thing.
I'm just a hunk of rock.
I mean, basically.
Did anyone see the moon tonight, by the way? It looks lovely.
Yes, it's massive.
Yeah, it does look nice.
Yeah, you can actually see Jupiter just to the right and just left.
Am I allowed to talk about this film?
Jupiter actually measures at a magnitude of it's minus 0.03, I think. No, positive 0.03. Naught being the point at which something becomes visible in the daylight. So minus numbers are visible in day. So it's really, really up there. You know, with the brightest objects in the sky right now. So
also a gas giant. There's no solid mass to it at all.
And that's true. In fact, even if there was no sun, the gas giant itself would illuminate because of all the chemicals and reactions going on in there. So it generates its own heat and light as well. Mm.
And there are winds on it that are like 700 miles an hour. They would literally rip your face off.
The bottom strip, which is usually covered in a brown... I forget the actual element it is, but that's at the moment that's a white strip, which has increased the visibility of Jupiter in the sky because the clouds have changed colour, which happens every 60 years or so, apparently. But,
and the red spot is a hurricane that's been raging for
about 700 years, I think. Yeah, at least 700, I'd say.
Okay.
Chris, aren't you going to talk about this film?
He's gone.
I hate you so much. Yes.
Did you know if it wasn't for Jupiter as well, Earth wouldn't be here?
Go on.
No, it's true. Jupiter is like, they call it the guardian of Earth. Because if it wasn't...
Because it attracts the solar rays.
Yeah, if it wasn't in the way, Earth would have just been bombarded with pretty much every bit of debris in the universe.
Oh, cheers, Jupiter.
So yeah, it's there, taking one for the team.
It's a good lad.
Cheers, Jupes. Loves you.
Can I talk about
it? It also has
now?
Rings.
Yeah, would you, Chris?
But they're invisible because they're too small.
I'm trying. We'll talk about Jupiter for some reason.
This is massive.
That has rings, but they the rings go along, so it's sort of rolling. Imagine if you were to roll a ball along a table. That's what it's doing through space. So the rings are in the same direction as it's travelling, so, rather than sort of transverse to that. Quite an interesting fact about Neptune for you.
Did you know that since its discovery, Neptune has yet to complete a circle around the sun?
I did.
In like 1886, it's
due
discovered.
To be quite soon.
And it hasn't completed an orbit around the sun yet. It's that far away. And did you know Mercury's day is longer than its year?
That's a cool fact. I'm happy with that one.
Mercury's day is like...
Because it takes longer to spin round itself than it does to travel around
Mercury's
the sun.
Mercury's day is the equivalent of something like 8 Earth years.
No, I was right the first time. How was the future, Chris?
So, the future is probably crazy. So, it starts out with this this cat who's called Paw Paw because he's got a damaged paw. He talks about being a cat that lived outside.
Did he pick too many paw paws?
No.
If Baloo taught anything, it's to pick a paw paw carefully. So you don't get
it was in the film The Prince and the Paw Paw. Have you ever seen The Prince and the Paw Paw? It's about twins who get separated at birth.
So, Peter, you've been playing Skyrim.
I'm sorry, Chris.
Come on, Chris. Come on.
Yeah, so the future, it starts with this cat, narrated by this cat called Paw Paw.
Why is he called Paw Paw?
Is, because he's got an injured paw.
Right.
And that's what the couple who find him call him. This cat is the narrator of the film and talks about how, I think it's a girl, how she started out life outside and how living outside as a cat is like fucking terrifying. And that's kind of like a narrative throughout it about talking about how, like saying, because it takes it to an animal shelter so it can get better.
Does she have any missing legs?
No, she has all her paws.
So you might say Paw Paw's got four paws.
Yes. So kind of talks and talks about how the free. There's this brilliant bit where it goes the free state because it talks about like. Being inside for the first time ever and like discovering the passage of time because it says when there's outside, the only states are alive, dead, and bird.
Film does sound quite mental.
Yeah.
Sounds brilliant.
And then it cuts from this really odd introduction bit talking about this couple who are the couple that found Paw Paw. And they're kind of this fairly average, geeky couple. But then they realize that the. Because they can't pick Paw Paw up for a month, and then they were told that it'll only live for 6 months or so, and that's all it's got to live. But then the vet tells them, "Oh no, if you look after it well, it might live for 5 years." And they realise that in 5 years they'd be 40, and 40 is basically 50, and when you're 50, you're basically dead. So essentially, they realize that anything they've got left that they want to do in life, they need to do the next 30 days before they pick the cat up.
Is this animated, this film?
No, it's not animated. This is a live-action film.
Oh, okay.
It's just weird.
Visions of the cat being all cartoon, but...
The cat
so it's
is...
a live-action cat?
The cat is a puppet, but you only ever see its paws, because there's stuff with it, the bit with the cat's narrating is shot from the cat's point of view. So all you can see is the cat's two front paws. And then stuff goes... and then basically because of that, the girl is a dancer. And she quits her job teaching dance to do 30 dances in 30 days. But then she becomes intimidated by all the other dancers on the internet. So she shuts the internet off to their flat. And then the film gets weirder and weirder from there. To the point where the guy stops time and is talking to the moon about how he stopped time and asked the moon for it. And the moon is talking
I'm
to
always
that.
Doing that.
and are you and sure then, you went to the cinema and didn't just have a few drinks and pass
and
out?
And then he asks the moon for advice and the moon says, don't ask me, I'm just a hunk of rock. But it's I don't want to say what happens at that point, but it's a really obvious analogy for something that, like, for something we've all gone through. It's, yeah. But it's this weird, fucking bizarre film and keeps cutting back and forth all the time. But it's I enjoyed it. It's just, it's one of those films you really need to pay attention to, otherwise you'll be like, I don't know what the fuck is going on at all. It's also one of those strange ones, which you get a lot in indie films, but like there's no soundtrack at all. So it feels very kind of quiet in comparison to a lot of other films. If that makes sense. It's a bit weird.
That is a bit weird. Films with no soundtracks always make me feel a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, but it's lovely. It's really well done. I also saw Ides of March. Talk about these two very quickly. Ides of March is fucking amazing. I advise you all go see it. And it's absolutely stunningly shot. The whole thing is brilliant. George Clooney is absolutely amazing in that film. Everyone is good in it. And then at the end of the night, I saw Red State, and I thought the other two films were good. Red State is in like a class of its own. Red State is ridiculously good. Michael Parks deserves a fucking Oscar for that performance as the crazy preacher in it. I've seen opinions that it's a little heavy-handed in its message, but I don't think it is at all, really.
It's not heavy-handed when you consider that there are people out there doing, well, not to that extent, but there are evil.
Yeah, but he's barely parodying. He's just kind of like, no, this is what's actually happening, sort of thing. And it never feels like a parody. It feels like a logical extension of people like what's their name? The Baptist Church. I forget their name.
The Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah, Westboro Baptist Church. It kind of just feels like this is a direction you could see these people taking, you know? And yeah, it's brilliant. There's about three different films inside that film, which is a little bit odd.
Were you not a little let down by the ending?
A little bit, but I think it's better than what it's originally implied to be at that ending. Because it's a Kevin Smith, I don't want to give away the ending. Because it's a Kevin Smith film, when that ending happens, when you think the film's going to end, you're kind of like, yeah, no, I could totally see it ending this way. This is a choice Kevin Smith would make. He's made weirder choices than this in his films before.
Yeah, it just felt a bit cheap to me. After all the, like, really it did a little bit. Build up to it, it just felt a little bit cheap. Yeah.
It did.
Does Jason Mewes do a rap in it?
Scene after that.
With his old chap tucked between his legs.
Yeah.
But I kind of think the. It does feel a little bit like that, but it kind of works because the scene after that is very well acted.
That's John Goodman
and very, very strongly done. I forget what's that actor's name? He used to be in Roseanne, but I forget his name.
John Goodman.
Yeah, he's brilliant in it.
He used to be in Roseanne.
I just said John Goodman. That's for your voyeur.
Skype's being a bit funny tonight. John Goodman. He's absolutely brilliant.
Ignorant.
He's really good in it as well.
Just for the record, Skype's working perfectly for me this evening.
And me.
it's been alright for me. Chris has cut out a couple of times, but
yeah, that's just me. It's my internet's being shit. John Goodman's.
You want
John,
to get 100 meg internet put in?
John Goodman is really good in that film, but the standout performance by a mile is Michael Parks. Mm. Michael Parks is just
his daughter as well. I've forgotten her name.
Oh, she's really good as well.
She was the mum in The Fighter. Melissa Leo, she was brilliant in it as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. But I kind of think,
and in some ways, she came across as a little bit more evil than him because he seemed like, although he had a true belief, he seemed like he'd got to a point where he was doing some of it for the laugh, if you see what I mean. Whereas she seemed to have a genuine love and belief in him and in God. And sometimes she came across a little bit scarier.
Yeah, no, but there's a couple of scenes where he's absolutely terrifying. I Fear God. You Better Believe I Fear God. That scene is brilliant and absolutely terrifying. And the very very final scene in that film where he's singing is weirdly, it's kind of like the most haunting scene in that entire film.
Yeah.
When literally nothing happens, but he's just singing, and it is so, that kind of just sticks with you, I think. Yeah. So those were all three really, really good films. How long are we into this podcast? Okay, very quickly, next up, Peter, you've been playing, oh, this isn't going to be quick at all. Peter, you've been playing Skyrim.
It can be quick. I've been playing Skyrim. I really liked Skyrim. There is a review on the website. Go and play Skyrim. Kill some dragons.
Do you have to kill dragons?
You have to kill dragons. No, you don't. You don't have to do anything at all in Skyrim. If you want to complete the game, then you have to kill dragons.
Have you tried fucking with giants yet?
Yes, I have.
Did you get squished?
Unsuspectingly, some woman said I could be. Someone said that she wanted to be a real proper trader in the town that she was in. And I thought, oh, that's nice. I'll help her out. So all she needed to be a proper trader was a mammoth tusk.
Yeah.
So she could sell that, and then she'd have money, and then she could open her own shop. And I thought, well, that's an admirable aim. So I'll go and get you a mammoth tusk. I found myself out on the rolling tundra of Skyrim, saw a couple of mammoths wandering along, thought, I'll have a go. So I weighed in, started shooting them with my arrows, and all of a sudden got myself bludgeoned by the giants that were herding them.
Yeah.
Apparently, mammoths are all herded by giants.
I hear the giants don't take kindly to it.
No, but strangely, if you see giants on the landscape walking about, you can walk right up to them and look at them, and they just sort of go, ugh, get away. They don't actually say get away because they don't really talk. But they just sort of go, ugh, at you and wave.
Do they use the mammoths as like tiny little horses?
No, they're not that giant. They're giants in the sense of, I think they're probably sort of, they'd be roughly maybe 13 or 14 feet tall.
So not super giant, but that's still pretty big.
No, they're not like titans.
I had a sweet little image of a giant riding a mammoth.
Yeah, no, they're about as tall as mammoths.
Yeah, fair enough.
Breaking news, iOS 5.0.1 has just happened.
Has it?
Been released? I don't know, Kevling's just posted a picture on Twitter.
Oh.
Why have you
taken
a picture of Kate's finger in your mouth?
I don't know what you're talking about.
What?
Well, presumably that's Kate's finger, or
he's Kev wearing has really two weird different arms.
Where are these pictures? Very different.
On Skype, in the window, there's like pictures of Chris.
Oh, my Skype window's under Audacity.
You've missed us trying to derail the podcast with
I've
the different
got
pictures.
Half and half on my screen. So yeah, I can see Audacity recording, and then I can see any picture changes that come along.
Yeah, so you'd advise people go play Skyrim, Peter?
Yes, I would advise anybody that enjoyed Oblivion or Fallout to go and play Skyrim. Or anybody that likes sort of fantasy kind of that sort of thing.
Okay, so I'm not going to play Skyrim at all, ever.
Well, then Lewis, you are dead to me.
Are you going to play Skyrim, Lewis?
Probably.
Seems like your kind of thing.
I didn't like it at the Eurogamer, but I'll probably give it a go, yeah.
You do like games where you walk a lot?
Well, I really enjoy walking to a village, so I'll probably get it for that aspect. Just walking.
See, it's not the sort of game that would demo well, because half an hour is really not enough time. It's all about sort of the world that you're in and the way that develops and grows around you.
Given that I'm 14% of the way through Batman since getting it on the 29th of October, probably not really for me.
Yeah, probably not.
In terms
Skyrim would take you years.
Yeah. If I never wanted to play another game, then sure.
Skyrim has infinite quests.
Yeah, so you could never play another game.
How does that work?
Apparently, finish up the main storyline and then you finish like the big side quests, there are like guild leaders or innkeepers.
Recorded dialogue? They just have text dialogue or what?
Oh no, they have recorded dialogue, but they've just recorded enough dialogue so that you can call into them and they'll say either, I need somebody killed in this town, or I need to steal this ring from this person, or... And apparently they sending you on things.
I imagine it being like the woman who announces on the trains, like, I need someone killed in...
Yeah, like text-to-speech engine. I need someone killed in Oak Town. Do that come back to me, please.
So that'd be better, personally, I think. That'd be amazing.
What they should do is just make them robots, like look like robots, and then you wouldn't question it.
Exactly, it'd be fine.
Might be slightly out of keeping with the rest of the world.
Would be a little bit odd. Kev, you've watched Alphas. This looks interesting to me. It's kind of like if Heroes wasn't rubbish, is what I understand.
Yeah, I think that's a fair description. I mean, Heroes has a bit of a guilty pleasure in, for me. I quite liked Heroes, even though I know that it was a bit rubbish. But yeah, Alphas.
Well, no,
so
but
far
it's kind of like the first season of Heroes when Heroes was good.
Yeah, Alphas is a bit darker than that. Like Heroes was quite. Well, there was the whole save the cheerleader, save the world. Like in Alphas, no one's trying to save the world. It's about these.
Are they trying to save cheerleaders at all? Either?
There hasn't even been a cheerleader in it yet, so
disappointing.
Not watching.
What's the point? But yeah, it's the world that the it's set on sort of present day Earth, and there are these people who have started to sort of get abilities, and they're referred to as Alphas, and we're introduced to the team as it stands, like with there's four Alphas as part of this team who are basically going around tracking other Alphas. And you don't really know for what purpose when the series starts. But in the team, there's a woman who can concentrate all her focus on one sense to the detriment of all the others. So she can analyze a crime scene using just smell. And like she's sort of got a forensic level of detail there. Or she can listen out for things, but she won't be able to see anything, and so like she has to kind of choose what sense to focus on. She can sort of snap out of it and just be normally sensed as well, but yeah, so it's quite an interesting power. That you've got your standard guy who can become quite strong, but he can do it on whenever he wants to, but he can only do it for sort of 5 minutes at a time, because the way they kind of explain it is that he has kind of, it's all adrenaline, and the same way that like you get stories where women can lift cars off their children and stuff. It can basically activate that reflex, but he can't do it for any length of time because it'll just kill him, because it's just such a spike of kind of adrenaline and chemicals going around his body. So that's quite kind of like a nice twist on the Hulking out theme.
Yeah.
Then they've got a teenage boy who seems to everyone else to be kind of autistic spectrum. He's got a lot of hand ticks in the air, and he talks just all the time, and he's always saying things that he's noticed, but actually his ability is that he can see all electromagnetic waves, including like internet and microwave and radio wave. He can just see all of that, so that's why he's so distracted all the time, and his hand flicking is actually kind of sorting through it all and like switching sort of channels and moving through all the information that's around him all the time. So that's quite cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
But can he actually do anything with it? Because otherwise that just sounds like an annoying...
Well, yeah, like, they use him for, like, surveillance. Like, he can tap into any sort of government frequencies and all that sort of... So he's... Yeah, they use him quite often for, like, tracking people.
I thought it was just going to end up looking like a BT Home Hub advert.
It does. That's kind of the effect that goes on, to be honest. And then there's a woman who has the, basically the power of enforced persuasion. So, like, if she says things in a certain tone, people will just do what she says. That's the initial team of four, and they're led by the good Dr. Rosen, who's a sort of oldish man with a grey beard and a nice temperament. He learned to trust
and a wheelchair.
Quite quickly. No, he doesn't have a wheelchair, unfortunately, and he has a full head of hair, also.
Just not trying hard enough.
Yeah, really. Not plagiarizing hard enough, are they? And it follows these four, and quite quickly you learn that they're the target of seemingly rogue band of Alphas. Somebody's trying to kill them by using other Alphas to get to them. And so one of the episodes is about this guy called the Ghost. I think they call him a Ghost. And he can basically... He's got a mind control thing, but he'll just... it's done based on skin contact, so as soon as he's touched you, like, he can get you to do whatever you want, but if he hasn't touched you, then he can't. So it's kind of like he's got these boils all over his hand, and so it's kind of like a toxin that he puts onto your skin. They sort of meet the new member of their team by him having too much willpower to be ghosted, or I didn't explain it very well, but so then they get a new member of the team who's like a incredible sort of marksman.
I saw him in the trailer. He seems really cool.
Yeah, he's really cool. He's just such a, like, to look at him, he's just every video game hero ever. Like, kind of good looking, shaved head, quite a gruff voice. Think Desmond, think Cole, think whatever guy from Prototype was called.
Yeah.
Any of those. But yeah, he's quite cool.
See, I was thinking about Ratchet.
As in Ratchet and Clank?
Yeah.
No, it's not a Lombax.
But in, because in the trailer, he like tosses a coin into a vending machine,
vending machine from across the room.
That just looks so cool.
Yeah, and so he's just got like absolute pinpoint precision, and he can,
So basically, he's Hawkeye.
Yeah, pretty much. But he can also do that backwards, so he can like go to a crime scene and somewhere like a bullet has been fired.
Oh, that's cool.
And like sort of see where that would have gone in reverse kind of thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's cool. I'm really enjoying nice it. It's only four episodes in so far, but like it's been really cool. They've quite consistently come up with quite original powers, considering how many ability based TV programs there's been, and you know, how many different sort of, you've got heroes, you've got misfits, you've got all sorts of things going on. But they've been quite original in their powers. There was one of the characters in a single episode was he had the ability to know the effect of any cause, so he could see cause and effect before it happens. Which was a really cool power, and made for quite a scary character in that episode, because he could just like flick a coin, knowing that it would hit a thing, which would then roll over and cause a car to crash or something. Like just any, like he would just know before doing anything.
And do you know who's got a similar power to that?
Who?
The Flash in Flash number 2.
Hey, that's true. Sorry, was I going on a bit for Elvis?
No, I just thought that was like a perfect point to segue, because it's like in because me and you have both read Flash number 2. It's really good.
It is. I'm really happy with the direction that they're taking it in, because I was kind of feel a bit about Flash like, well, Superman's also really fast, so, and he can also shoot lasers out of his eyes and freeze things with his breath. So,
kind of an advantage, really.
Yeah. So I kind of felt sorry for Flash because he's just got the speed thing. But in issue 2, and there may, if you're going to read it, I'm sorry, but I'm going to talk about it, so skip over this section. Issue 2, they basically say your physical muscles are moving at, you know, this speed force, but your brain muscles are working at, almost at the normal speed. So you can actually apply this speed force to your brain as well. And so he actually ends up thinking at the same speed. And which means he has the ability to kind of see the outcome, every possible outcome of a scenario before sort of doing it, basically, because he can think about it. Although saying that, even if I was given all the time in the world, I probably couldn't think of every possible outcome of a scenario. So it also depends on his intelligence. But
yeah,
I'm willing to.
But he's like a forensic scientist, so he's pretty smart.
Yeah, he is. And I just think that's a really nice way to give him back something that the others don't have.
It's really interesting. It does create the issue that they've kind of like, there's the potential to write him into corners a lot more, in that they're kind of just like, oh, we need to come up for a way for bad guys to actually be relevant against him.
Yeah, that's he's the thing.
He's already ridiculously fast, and now he can basically predict the future.
Yeah.
Which is not good. Although, like the scenes where they show that, because they kind of show there's this, the art style gets tweaked he's looking at
the art in that book is lovely.
And it's really nice as well, because he's kind of the panels split in two. So you've got the two panels, but you've got like,
they're kind of what
if I did this and what if I did this? Yeah. It's kind of like two different possibilities, which is really interesting. And I love that it all boils down to, he might just like stop a bank robber. No, stop someone robbing a store
doesn't get shot and stuff.
Yeah, basically he just picks up an apple. And it sets the entire thing in motion.
Yeah, which is remarkably similar to that power that I was just talking about in them.
Which is why I segued. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It's very cool. And I am pleased that Flash has got a thing that sets him apart again.
Yeah, definitely.
Because
definitely, you kind of need something that's a little bit different.
Also, I was talking to a guy that I work with, Tom. He's really into his comics. And I was talking, because last week we were mentioning his costume and how it just kind of sort of happens to him. It doesn't really have any explanation, and Tom's view of it was that it just shoots out of the ring. I mean, it's still the fact that a frictionless thing doesn't necessarily fit in a ring, but anyway, it kind of shoots out and he sort of runs into it and it wraps it around himself. So I thought that's quite a nice take on.
It's like a swimsuit, so it's open at the back.
Yeah, I don't know sort of how it fastens. Maybe it's Velcro.
I was going to say, because that still doesn't... That would just mean he's naked at the back.
Yeah, it's actually like that Liz Hurley dress, isn't it?
Yeah. Basically, you see him, and you're like, you see him from the front, and he turns around, and you're like, oh, all right.
Oh, God. That's a hairy
cover
back.
Cover a bit, buddy.
Like one of those hospital gowns.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly like that. That's how the Flash's costume works now.
But yeah, I really like the Flash. I really like the way that it's going.
Yeah, so well written.
Quite excited to see where they're going to take that now, actually.
Yeah.
I've just bought the Flash issue 2 while you were talking about it.
It's really good. You're going to love it. Such
buy it anymore. We know about it now.
That's the power of persuasion. It's peer pressure.
Yeah.
And the thing is, Peter, did you listen to last week's podcast?
No.
Well, I'll just recap then. But basically, I was only going to read Justice League. But a lot of my friends got me issue 1s for my birthday. So now I'm like, oh, now I'm going to have to buy them, aren't I? I was deliberately not reading them, so then I didn't start off the stories. But now it's all spiraling hideously out of control.
Yeah, see, this is what happens to me. Anytime I go into the store and it's like, issue 1 or something, I'm like, ooh, I should get issue 1. Mm-hmm. And then I just end up buying a whole series of stuff.
Yeah. But I managed to... I very nearly bought 3 issue 2s, and I actually managed to just walk away with... Just Flash.
Well, what were you going to buy?
I quite wanted to buy Batman 2.
That's pretty good.
And I also I was sort of torn about this one, but I quite wanted to see what happens in Green Lantern Corps. I know it's not really important in the kind of grand scheme of things. Green Lantern Corps doesn't seem very kind of major, but at the same time, I just quite like the.
What does happen in Green Lantern Corps number 2? Not much.
No, not missing out.
No, it's kind of building to a confrontation.
Yeah.
But it's just like every Green Lantern. It's kind of like every Green Lantern confrontation ever, basically.
The one thing I'll say about the Flash 2, I got the variant cover because I didn't have any of the originals in stock. And the variant cover is awful. I don't like it at all. It's got Flash like running on a speed dial. And the speed dial goes from fast, very fast, super fast, and it's currently pointing at OMG. I'm like,
that's
really?
Rubbish. Because the other two front covers have just been like half his face, and he's clearly running, and it's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, I must have got a variant cover for the first Flash as well, then.
What you got for the first one?
It's him running in a different pose.
Oh, no, the first one is like half his face and lightning and stuff.
Because the second one is half his face, but the lightning speed stuff like on his brain. Which obviously makes sense for the story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. We don't really have any time to talk about Uncharted. Uncharted is... Lewis said Uncharted 3 is the weakest one of the series.
Yep.
Peter, do you agree?
I don't know. I haven't played enough of Uncharted 3 yet, but I think Uncharted, the first one, Drake's Fortune, was quite weak.
I think the first Uncharted has a poor cover system. And also, there are an awful lot of cutscenes.
The thing is, I'll quickly say, it is a great game. I'll be stupid to say otherwise. I
realised we'd invited a Muppet.
it is a great game. You'd be stupid to say otherwise. But by Naughty Dog standard, great doesn't cut it anymore, if that makes sense. And it's the same problem I had with the God of War trilogy, except I think God of War... handled it a little bit better, and that is one sets the franchise up with an original experience, good graphics, and really good story in that. I loved the first one, and then the second one improves upon that no end, and then the third one comes along and it's just like you've taken Uncharted 2 and just put it in a different setting, and I've got a lot more gripes with it than I have positives. So I'm let down by Uncharted 3.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Bad
news.
Also, my PS3 has iPlayer. I like that.
it's not just your
PS3.
No, it's only my one. Apparently, it's got lots of hard disk space, which I've been told now. I didn't know that. for.
Sweet. Get DC.
Yeah. Quiz.
Although DCU on a SD TV might be impossible because it's quite largely text based.
Oh, I'm not getting DCU then. That would be rubbish.
It would be quite rubbish.
Quiz.
So you just sound like you're shouting your own name.
Peter's got a picture.
Yay.
Oh, Jesus. Giant eyes.
I'm joining in.
Yeah.
Oh, God. His eyes stare at me in emails, too, but they're different.
You've got squinty eyes and a really cheesy smile.
Yeah, that's the one.
You look like you're getting to the vinegar strokes.
Quiz.
Oh, sorry, that's my phone doing that.
Quiz.
Yeah, you can keep saying it all you like. I'm just doing it.
We can hear you, Chris. We're just ignoring you.
Just got a text from someone at work saying iOS 5.0.1 is out, by the way, if you hadn't realised. So should sort the battery issues out you're having. Thanks, Joel.
Do you have a 4S?
I do.
Oh.
Kate got it for my birthday.
Fancy bastard.
It's quite nice. Look at this.
Look at this.
Do I need an umbrella tomorrow, Siri?
Take your time.
For tomorrow. Yeah, there's no rain in the forecast for tomorrow.
Did you know that you
can...
How
many calories are there in a bagel?
Let me think. Did you know that you can give yourself a nickname with Siri?
No.
If you tell, if you press the Siri button and then say, Siri, call me Batman, then he will forevermore call you Batman.
207, by the way, if anyone's interested in the number of calories in a bagel.
Excellent.
Siri,
sure, it depends
call
on the bagel.
Me Batman.
From now on, I'll call you Batman, okay?
Batman.
Batman.
No, that's not
Batman, the Jewish superhero.
Mazel tov. You can't do it. Siri's getting a bit above his station there.
Siri, will you marry me?
We hardly know one another.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Earlier I asked him that and he was like, that's sweet. Is there anything I can help you with? He's got some sass on him.
That would have been better if he'd said we hardly know one another, Batman.
Sometimes he does refer to you by name. I don't really want to be called Batman. Batman.
Batman.
Ask him to call you Spabbage.
Siri, call me Spabbage from now on.
I don't see me Babbage from in your address book.
He didn't understand that. He didn't know what he said. He thought I said call me's Babbage from now on.
See,
he's like,
that's,
what's...
That's where we're. That's Babbage. Where we're going wrong. Once we've reached Siri, once Siri knows what Spabbage is, we've.
Let
made
me just
it.
Try Spabbage on its own. Spabbage.
I don't know what you mean by Spabbage.
I don't know what
Spabbage. He's very posh.
Spabbage. No. Anyway, that's Siri.
Quiz.
Yeah. Okay, quiz. Quiz.
I'm going to get Siri to do my quiz for me.
For the first week, Kev's playing for himself. Scores are going to get reset back
excuse
to zero.
Kate,
what have you done to Kate?
I don't know. She's watching something with headphones on TV. She's giggling away at it. Kate, what are you watching? What's that? What are you watching? She's trying to mime to me, but I can't understand her.
We can hear her. She might as well just talk.
You can just say. You can just say what you're watching. Oh, it's Big Brother.
Oh,
that's why she didn't want to say.
Jeez.
Oh.
It is good.
Though. Okay, the quiz. Quiz at Akapulsi. This week I have done a character. So I'm going to give you the name of three characters. And you need to tell me the man that, or woman that has played them. So,
oh,
for example,
I should get up a text thing.
If I said to you Stanley Ipkiss, Dr. Edward Nygma, and Count Olaf, you would say.
I know this one.
I would
Jim
say
Carrey.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Jim Carrey, yeah.
Yes.
So
that's how it's going to work.
One point.
No, that was an example.
Oh, man. Can you have that as a question?
So, question.
Also. Also, all the scores are getting reset back to zero this week.
Yes, yep. This is it, isn't it? This is the...
0-0-0. Now that there's four of us, I should probably keep a tally chart because I'll get confused.
Maybe a Google document spreadsheet.
No, I don't have Google Docs.
You did? Well, you got
you don't have Google Docs.
Chris, Kevin.
Oh, come on.
Peter.
Don't put me down as that. Otherwise, I'm not playing.
Okay. Question one. Have you all written 1 to 10?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Question one. Charles Chaplin, Harry Lockhart, and Tony Stark. Question two. Galadriel, Queen Elizabeth I, and Catherine Hepburn. Question five. Tobias Wolfe.
Question five?
Sorry. Question three. Tobias Wolfe, Frank Abagnale Jr., and Romeo.
I can't remember anybody's name.
I know, like, I know who the actor is, and I know...
Don't cheat. Right.
There he is.
I remember him.
Can we just quickly Google this?
Yeah. Cheating.
Whose was that?
It's me. I am typing the answers into a text.
Yeah. Question four. Medusa, G-Girl, and Mia Wallace. Question five. Mr. Goodcat, Dr. Malcolm Crowe, and Hartigan. Question six. Tess Ocean, Vivian Ward, and Tinkerbell.
Who was that in that film?
Question seven. Alan Parrish, Seymour Parrish, and Batty. Question eight. Elizabeth Darko, Anna Pascal, and Rachel Dawes.
Oh.
Question nine. James Francis Ryan, Wilhelm Grimm, and Tom Ripley. And question 10, Clarice Starling, Maud Lebowski, and Amber Waves.
Oh my god, what is her actual name? I can see her face. And all I can think of is the name of the actress who plays Ripley in Aliens. And I know it's not her.
Okay. So there's your 10.
I need more time.
You won't get any extra points, but you do get kudos if you can tell me the films that the characters appear in.
Tell us that now.
Okay, so are we ready?
Yeah.
Mm. How many do you think you've got?
I've got 3 written down, and I'm confident of 2.
Yeah, me too.
I've got 7 written down. 5 might be right.
Show off.
It might not be.
Okay, question one.
Charles, I can't remember the
Charles
last
Chaplin.
One.
You've run out of time, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Question one. Charles Chaplin, Harry Lockhart, and Tony Stark.
Robert Downey Jr.
Yep.
Yes. Charles Chaplin, obviously from Chaplin. Harry Lockhart from Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and Tony Stark from Iron Man.
It was Tony Stark that saved it, though.
I thought that would give it away a bit.
That's an easy one.
Question two. Galadriel, Queen Elizabeth I, and Catherine Hepburn.
Kate Blanchett.
Anyone else got anything else?
No.
No.
It was Kate Blanchett. Galadriel from Lord of the Rings, Queen Elizabeth I from Elizabeth, and Catherine Hepburn in Aviator. Question three. Tobias Wolfe, Frank Abagnale Jr., and Romeo.
Is it Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yes.
It was Leonardo DiCaprio. Tobias Wolfe from This Boy's Life, Frank Abagnale Jr. from Catch Me If You Can, and Romeo from Romeo and Juliet. Question four, Medusa, G-Girl, and Mia Wallace.
Nothing.
Nope.
Was that a no, Peter?
Nope.
That is Uma Thurman. Medusa from Percy Jackson in the shit film, G-Girl from My Ex-Girlfriend Super Thingy, and Mia Wallace from Pulp Fiction.
If you'd said Poison Ivy.
Yeah, see, that would have given it away. Yeah. I didn't do that on purpose.
And I sat here thinking, I know Mia Wallace. I know that name. Where's that from?
Mm.
Pulp Fiction. Number five, Mr. Goodcat, Dr. Malcolm Crowe, and Hartigan.
I've guessed at Morgan Freeman, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
That's Bruce Willis. Hartigan from Sin City. Dr. Malcolm Crowe from Sixth Sense. And Mr. Goodcat from...
Oh, he's the assassin. That's him as an assassin, isn't it?
In... can't remember the film now.
That film.
The Jackal.
No.
In a film with quite a large cast of famous people, and he's quite a minor part, but he's also quite an important part.
I'll have to think of that one. Number, whatever. Tess, Ocean, Vivian Ward, and Tinkerbell.
I put Kylie Minogue.
No. Anyone else?
No.
That's Julia Roberts. Tess Ocean from Ocean's whatever.
Oh, Julia Roberts. I was going to say Julia Roberts. Skype cut out.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
That's a shit excuse.
Yeah, you heard Kylie Minogue, but that was actually me saying Julia Roberts that Skype was acting weird.
No, I legitimately have Julia Roberts written down because I knew it.
I'll give you that one.
Because that's in Hook.
Yeah, so Tess Ocean from Ocean's Vivian Ward.
To be fair,
Ward,
Kylie Minogue does play Tinkerbell in Moulin Rouge.
Tinkerbell from Hook. Question 7. Alan Parrish, Seymour Parrish, and Batty.
I haven't got any more now.
I've put Christian Bale, and is Batty the name of what you call Batman?
No. Peter?
No
who
idea.
Who's Batman Batty?
That's Lewis, Robin apparently. Williams. Alan Parrish from Jumanji. Seymour Parrish from One Hour Photo, and Batty from Fern Gully.
Alan Parrish, I should have known that.
Question 8. Elizabeth Darko, Anna Pascal, and Rachel Dawes.
Is it Katie Holmes?
No.
Yes. Oh, it is Katie Holmes.
It's not.
Well, then it's that other one.
It's Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Man.
I knew you were going to say that. Elizabeth Darko in Donnie Darko. Rachel Dawes in Dark Knight, obviously, and Anna Pascal. I can no longer remember what that was.
So she's not played by Katie Holmes.
Not in Dark Knight. She's played by Katie Holmes in Batman Begins.
Mm.
She ruined Dark Knight for me.
How dare you?
I'm upset now. I thought I had that right.
Question 9: James Francis Ryan, Wilhelm Grimm, and Tom Ripley. No one.
Nothing.
No.
Matt Damon.
Was it Ben? Oh, for fuck! That's unbelievable. I had Matt Damon written down, and I thought, no, it's not him. It's the other one, and then I couldn't remember Ben Affleck's name.
It is Matt Damon. James Francis Ryan from Saving Private Ryan. Wilhelm Grimm from The Brothers Grimm, and Tom Ripley from The Talented Mr. Ripley. And number 10, I want to see how many of you are caught out with this one. Clarice Starling, Maud Lebowski, and Amber Waves.
Not Jodie Foster.
That's the person I was trying to think of. I put Sigourney Weaver.
No, it's the other one.
It's the other one that played Clarice in the later Hannibal film.
In Hannibal.
Yeah, that's the one. Yep. But I can't remember her name, obviously.
Julianne Moore.
There you go.
Clarice Starling in Hannibal, Maud Lebowski in The Big Lebowski, and Amber Waves in Boogie Nights.
Well, there you go. Right, I did shit at that many. Quiz.
Despite answering quite a lot.
We have a tie. It's 3 to Chris, 3 to Kev, and 2 to Peter.
Well, I hate your quiz, and I hate you.
Thanks.
Hate your mum. I love you, hate too. Your dog. Hate your...
Okay, so... In which
we're
case,
in a tiebreak scenario.
Yep, we're in a tiebreak scenario. So,
just going to be disruptive.
For a numerical tiebreaker. And this is... Let me just get it prepared.
Really thought I had Katie Holmes.
Okay. Let me just find the right one. Come on.
There was more trick questions in this week's quiz than normal.
Come on, hang on. Bear with me 2 seconds. Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, see, this thing is I haven't heard of a lot of the characters, so I just latched onto one that I recognised and just hoped for an actor that had played them.
Yeah, see, I did chuck in those for people to cling on to, but, like, because I didn't want to go for, like, people just when their characters are, like, Dave. It would have made it a bit difficult.
Who played Dave? Now I know this one.
I'm terrible with names. I don't remember people's names, so I can picture people's faces, but I could sit here all night and never get the name.
I don't know why I couldn't think of the words Jodie Foster, even though it was wrong. Like that, obviously that's who I was thinking of, and I just could not face it.
Okay, so Chris and Kev.
Hello.
How many... to the nearest... No. How many Earths could you fit inside Jupiter? To the nearest 10.
I'm going to say 200.
200, Chris?
I'm going to say... I think it's less than... So I'm going to say 190.
Oh, I'm
quite
just,
not that much less.
I'm disappointed in both of you.
Can I change my answer to 700?
It does mean Kev wins, but you could fit 1,321.3 Earths inside Jupiter.
Wow.
I said that, but Skype cut out.
In which case, Peter, you win.
You already
quiz.
Lost.
So, well done. Well done to Kev. Kev wins.
Yay!
0-0-0-1.
Hurrah! Everyone else is applauding me, but just continue applauding myself. Well done, me.
Questions.
Question time.
Okay. Does anyone have any email questions?
I don't.
Okay. No, I don't either.
I'll do Twitter, and other people who do funny voices can do the forum. AH Daily says, hey, what's with the Bakewell tarts? Did we eat those Bakewell tarts?
I ate them. You went home. I ate them.
So Peter ate all the Bakewell tarts. There you have it.
They were fucking lovely.
Nemesis and Wonder Boy, who is my nemesis, says, if you could be any dragon, how many bags of chips would you eat in a year?
What? Can you repeat the question, please?
If you could be any dragon, how many bags of chips would you eat in a year?
All of them.
Right, so the dragon thing's largely irrelevant. I don't need to choose one. Just like, if you could be any dragon, be it a Norwegian Ridgeback, or a Hungarian Horntail, you know, any kind.
Oh, you've thrown some Harry Potter references in there, boy.
Tough crowd.
I'd eat 14 bags of chips.
What, in a year?
Yeah.
Yeah, mostly people, to be honest.
Yeah.
Not big on chips. I don't have a thumb to open the packet.
I'd only have chips as a slight diversion when I scooped up a person that happened to be eating chips.
Yeah. Or if you're in a particularly barren landscape where no people are, like you turn to your reserve walkers.
And also, chips aren't, like, I don't know about you, but as far as I know, chip shops aren't in the habit of serving dragons.
If I was a dragon,
turned up,
I wouldn't argue.
I'd be like, yeah, you can take them, mate.
Can I have some chips or shall I toast you?
Yeah, that's true.
I'd just turn up so for Eurogamer Expo. Yeah, they give away shitloads at the end of that.
Delicious
Doritos.
Crisps are not chips, Lewis.
Other chips are available.
He says chips, not crisps.
But what nationality is he? He's Irish, isn't he?
Made of potatoes.
Yeah.
Do they call chips?
No, they mean chips, I think. Not fries and whatever. Whatever.
Ireland we have got crisps.
Yeah, but you call them crisps, not chips.
You call them potato chips.
That's true.
To be fair, they are the same thing.
Don't they just chips are slightly thicker. Potato onto everything though?
Yeah.
Potato chips, potato laptop,
potato chocolate,
potato bread.
Potato.
That's a genuine thing. We have potato bread.
Yeah, I don't like potato bread.
Dale Walker Liam says, I'm
good
so sorry.
Good Ulster fry up with a big swedge of potato bread.
Yep.
Oh, I do like fried potatoes for breakfast. They are good.
That's not potato bread.
Stu Brody says, so who's getting rimmed in the sky this week?
Lucy.
James Murdoch.
With diamonds, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say Lucy with diamonds. SH number 7, who's my little brother, says, what do you think of the new PlayStation credit card?
He's your little brother?
Yeah, he's my little brother.
Oh, I didn't know you even had a little brother. Oh, yes, I did. You've spoken about him before.
Yeah, he wears the hat. He's got a hat. It's a good hat.
Okay.
I didn't know there was a new PlayStation credit card. Did anyone else?
They just announced it, I think, while we were podcasting.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Right, like right now.
Yeah, the PlayStation US blog has announced that they're launching a credit card. Apparently.
That seems stupid.
Well, it depends. If it's got like a money back scheme that everything you spend earns you PlayStation Store credit, why wouldn't you?
It earns you PlayStation Store credit when you buy PS3s with your PlayStation credit card.
Well, no, it's a credit card, so you can buy anything with it.
I was just making myself.
That does like sound like something I'd want to do.
10 times the points on all PSN purchases. So you get points. It's like a points reward card. Mm. 3 times points on all PlayStation and Sony purchases at Sony Stores and Sony.com. Who the fuck shops at Sony Stores and Sony.com?
That's the most expensive way of buying Sony products.
3 times points at all quick service restaurants, at movie theatres, and on your mobile phone bill.
I've never heard of McDonald's.
Yeah, probably.
So, but basically, like, we can't use... Well, you wouldn't use the Sony in-store thing because that's the most expensive way of buying Sony products. We can't use the quick store thing over here. And to get the money back on PSN credit means you'd have to have your credit card hooked up to your PSN account, which I don't think anyone wants to do anymore after the hack.
Well, this is, to be fair, this is only they're only launching it in America at the minute.
Yeah.
So but the not working over here thing is irrelevant.
But still, 2 of those 3 reasons are still valid.
Well, people do link their stuff up to the PlayStation Store.
That's true. Crazy people.
Well, me, for example. Lazy people.
You still have it linked? I thought...
Of course I do.
I thought everyone had just gone to buying, like, cards.
I think...
My wallet's connected to my card. I don't buy any credit or anything like that.
Yeah, it's the security thing happened, and the security thing happens everywhere. I mean, Shop 2 lost my credit card details a couple of years ago, and I ended up getting screwed over. But this is why there's insurance on that sort of stuff. It's not, you know, nothing's ever perfectly secure, and you're far more likely to have your credit card stolen from your wallet while you're at the bar or in a shop than you are to have it stolen online. So I think it's all a little bit paranoid. And people should just...
I am exceptionally paranoid, though. Plus, I only have a debit card, so I have to be careful.
Well, yes, debit cards are a completely different matter.
Yeah.
Because that's actual money that you actually own.
Yeah.
See, that's what mine is connected to. I don't have a credit card.
See, I've had credit card theft or credit card fraud has happened to me twice. Once for $4,500 and once for $6,500. And it is always caught by the credit card company. They catch it and they phone me up and say, did you spend money here? And I say yes or no. And then they go, oh, it looks like there's been fraud on your card. And I never have to pay it.
Yeah. So, but that happened with my debit card, though. And I think it was because, like, when I showed in my statement, it's like, you went to a bank in Portsmouth and took out £15. And then 2 seconds later, you travelled like 600 miles. And got £50. I was like, yeah, that's physically impossible. They were like, okay, we can see this one. You can have your money back.
Yeah, so...
Nice, then.
I think because you spend the money anyway, you may as well be earning points on it.
That's true.
It's like a reward card.
I don't like reward cards. The only one I have considered getting the Amazon credit card.
You don't like reward cards. You don't like getting free things.
I did consider getting the Amazon credit card sometimes.
Well, you should do, because you spend a fortune in Amazon.
Yeah, but it's the API is really high.
Yeah, but that's only if you don't pay it every month.
I wouldn't pay it every month. I'd just spend like $2,000 on Amazon on it.
Yeah.
It's nice to know you've already got that planned out, though.
Hey, what do you mean you wouldn't pay it every month? You haven't got a choice. You have to pay something. You can't just spend all that money and then forget about it.
No, but I mean, I'd spend too much for me to be able to pay it off.
Pay the minimum off.
And then you pay it forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, till the end of time. Because the minimum is never as much as the interest. Jasonum says, can you tell me about the birds and the bees?
Well, according to tradition, The Birds and the Bees is a metaphorical story sometimes told to children in an attempt to explain the mechanics and good consequences of sexual intercourse through reference to easily observed natural events. For instance, bees carry and deposit pollen into flowers, which is a visible and easy to explain example of male fertilization. Another example, birds lay eggs, a similarly visible and easy to explain example of female ovulation.
Excellent.
We
should make an audiobook textbook.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. With video. Because we had a conversation on Twitter earlier in the week where I suggested to him that maybe he needs to learn about the birds and the bees. And so now he's asking me to actually explain it.
And finally, Lone Steven asked a question, but I'm not going to read it out because he'll have asked loads of questions in the forum front.
I'll just read it.
He says three, but I'll pick the last one. Chloe's bottom or Eleanor's bottom?
We've had that one before. It's a rather disturbed question, considering they're computer animated people.
Yeah, I don't get all this. See, I don't understand this. All people going, oh, there's such nice bottoms in the chat. They're not real, guys. It's just, it's pixels on your screen.
As Nathan Drake says, I believe it's to Chloe. Oh, it's a shame you got to sit on something that pretty.
In Uncharted 2.
Yeah. I've got a couple.
As she's climbing a ladder in Nepal.
I've got a drawn out question by AH Daily on Twitter that's not tagged with a TSA cast, but it is in response to me saying, what are your questions? He says, well, he swears at the beginning, but he says, where the blank are my Bakewell tarts? He also says, also, do you think it's harming the gaming industry and pre-owned slash new market that I am renting games from Love Films, such as Batman and Skyrim, and only buying one new game, Assassin's Creed, between now and Christmas? So am I harming the games industry by renting when the games are new, then purchasing them months on when they are half price?
No, because the amount of money that goes to the games industry is the same. You might be harming the retailers, I guess, a little bit. But fuck them. But they're also willing to take that loss because they've put it at that price.
Yeah, balls to them.
Yeah.
It's retailers' fault. Everything. Everything is the retailers' fault.
Okay, but that seems a fairly broad and probably inaccurate statement.
No, it's perfectly accurate.
Definitely, if you read TSA comments, sometimes that is the way it seems.
I also had a non-tagged question, two questions from the Lone Steven. One of them was just to Peter, really. He says, why does Peter think instant coffee is for monsters?
Because it is.
Because it's just not right.
I fucking hated coffee because I'd only ever had instant coffee, and then one day I had real coffee. I was like, oh, this is nice. Yeah. This is what coffee is supposed to taste like. Oh, this is quite lovely. Instant coffee is fucking swill.
Rank.
Awful.
No, I'm not on board with hot drinks. It's not right.
I like instant coffee.
To be fair, I didn't used to be on board with hot drinks.
Drinks are meant to be cold.
What about hot chocolate, Kev?
Oh, no, sure. I can get behind hot chocolate. That's different. That's like a sweet more than a drink, really.
Hot chocolate's rank.
Oh, man, they have minty hot chocolate at work. I mean, it's amazing.
Oh, that stuff is awesome.
What do you mean drinks are meant to be cold?
Well, that's what drinks are meant to be cold, aren't they?
No.
No.
Otherwise, there wouldn't be hot drinks.
There shouldn't be hot drinks.
I'm sorry. Why not?
I think they're drunk more than
they're
cold
unpleasant.
Drinks.
They're unpleasant to the throat and mouth.
That's simply not true.
They're not very delicious to taste. They are uncomfortable, and they can burn your tongue, which leaves it feeling furry for days.
Are you sure you're not just drinking straight out of the kettle?
Yeah.
Essentially, your complaints against hot drinks are that you can't drink them properly.
Yeah, I don't really know what I'm doing. It makes me uncomfortable.
That you can't be trusted around hot water.
That's probably
what do
more.
You do when you have a shower or a bath?
Cold.
Closes his mouth.
Well, we don't have a shower at the house. We've only got a bath. So I have a bath every morning. What I do is I run the bath and then set my snooze on, which is 9 minutes. Head back to bed for another 9 minutes.
Why is the iPhone snooze 9 minutes? It's so weird.
This isn't actually my iPhone. No, it is my iPhone. I was about to lie to you, but I don't know. Because 9 minutes, because if it's in nice 5 minute increments, it seems too easy to just keep sleeping. Whereas if it's like, oh God, 7:18. Ooh. It's really.
Do you know what's odd about mine is because I have.
For it to be 7:18, you must have set your clock at 7:09, which is slightly weird.
Snooze twice, mate.
See, at 7, snooze twice, 7:18. But I have, like, to make sure I get up, I have like 5 alarms set on my phone, but I just snooze them all.
Jesus.
But then the snoozes build on top of each other. God. So then you're having a alarm go off like every minute, and you're like, oh, for fuck's sake, I'll get up then.
Horribly unsynchronized. I don't care for that. That system.
Well, it's because I have to get up stupidly early to make sure there's content on TSA.
Yeah, fair enough. My alarm goes off in the living room, so I actually have to get out of bed to go and turn it off.
Well, yeah, but to be fair, it's not really a living room.
I'll say my alarm goes off in the living room. I'm in a studio flat, so my bedroom is also in my living room. But I still have to get out of bed.
It's on the other side of the glass partition. Mm.
Hey, I'm moving tomorrow.
Oh, to a real house.
With rooms separated by doors.
Not just weird glass brick
things. I'm really
excited. You're moving tomorrow and you are still doing the podcast.
Yeah, I haven't even started packing stuff up yet. It's okay, because we've got quite an overlap, because we get the keys for the new place tomorrow, but we don't have to leave here till the 19th.
We've got that's fucking plenty ages.
Of time to move stuff over in our leisure.
Just take it like one thing at a time.
Exactly. Just I might take, dig like, an underground tunnel between the two residences.
Just take
just
like
pop
a cushion.
Up back here one time. It's like, hello, I'm back now.
As long as that tunnel follows the one-way system of Brighton, you don't want to cause chaos.
Yeah, no, the underground tunnels. You go the wrong way down an underground tunnel. It's all gone wrong.
Oh, Jesus. Brighton's traffic system is bad.
Okay. Is that Twitter questions? Is that we're done with Twitter?
I think we're done. Okay. Forums, we're running really long, so be quick.
Okay. So, Solid Steven, who says he really wants Skyrim and wants a job, says, it's that time of the week again. If you can stop playing UC3, lucky sods, and ask some questions for Peter, Chris, Lewis, and Dr. Kev.
I couldn't wait to stop playing UC3.
I point out Kev's not a doctor.
Says you.
I've known you the entire time since you were at university.
The certificate you got the internet says different.
You certainly haven't done a doctorate.
I've fast tracked since uni.
You got an honorary doctorate.
Yeah. Anyway, he says they would appreciate it and may send you an imaginary apple pie. Solid Steven doesn't talk on behalf of the Sick Faxes. There won't be any apple pie, imaginary or otherwise. but thanks for asking questions anyway.
We won't imagine an apple pie for you.
No, I will not do that. I will not lower myself to those standards.
That seems like too much, really. Imaginary pie.
So he says,
oh, he's getting Skyrim. well, Peter has Skyrim. Yeah, I'm not getting Skyrim.
Don't care. Come on,
Lewis. Steve. Well, Lewis said he might get Skyrim.
I didn't know. How do you feel about Lewis? That now?
Yeah.
Are you still
get
there?
Skyrim?
Yeah,
I'm still here. Yeah.
Might do. Might not. Yeah. He also says, Kupo?
What?
Which, Kupo. K-U-P-O. Kupo.
What? No idea.
It's the noise that the Moogles make in Final Fantasy, I believe.
Oh,
they're the little save creature.
That's not really a question.
It's not. He's put a question mark, but I mean, I really don't think that validates it as a question.
You can't just put question marks after random words, and
I'm not
you can't
sure
say
Stephen actually knows that that's a rule.
you can't just put like table question mark. Well, you could. Mean it's a question.
You can't look table.
You could. Yeah, table.
But it doesn't make it a valid question, though.
No, but if someone said to you, can you go to the table? And you'd be like, table? Like, I don't know what a table is. You know.
I suppose that's true in the context.
Also, if you're an alien and you're learning English for the first time, then you can point to one and go, table? Well, you go, yes, that's right. How endearing. You've started to learn my language. Congratulations.
That's a fair point, I suppose.
Now, please stop probing me.
When are you going to get on and share your technology?
I suppose a better example would be adjectives.
Doing? No, you could see that works.
That's not an adjective.
I know it's not.
Yeah, you are the teacher in the group here.
That's the verb.
Okay, so like you said, quickly going through these questions.
What's an adverb?
It's describing a verb. So running quickly being the adverb there.
Ah, thank you.
Okay. With the recent amount of comps on TSR and increase of members, I believe the most obvious question is, would you like a tea or coffee?
Coffee,
well, like
tea
I said, hot
Kev
drinks.
Doesn't do hot
not
drink.
Natural. So,
iced tea for Kev.
Oh, now a mocha frappuccino I can get behind.
Oh, there is something wrong with you.
As long as I drink it in a picnic area, in a park somewhere, then that's fine.
As long as you've got a blanket.
See, now, I'd go with coffee because I don't like English tea, but I'd quite like to experiment with more weird kind of like oriental teas, that kind of thing.
Green tea's some pretty good teas, actually.
English tea's the best one.
Concede that actually hot drinks are alright.
I didn't like green tea, but I'm willing to experiment with all sorts of things. But no, I don't like English tea.
I quite like herbal teas.
Yeah, that's why I kind of try herbal teas. But there's like there was this really interesting thing I saw about a place in America that knows how to brew all the teas properly in the same way you go to a coffee place, like a good, not Starbucks, like a good coffee place, and know how to make coffee properly. There's like this place that knows how to make tea properly.
There's a really good coffee place down the road from my work called Taylor Street Baristas, and Steve Coogan was in there the other day.
Yeah, excellent.
It was nice. He was wearing a hat and dark sunglasses, though, so I think he was in a "please don't talk to me" kind of.
Yeah, but he never hears that.
It's like, I've just ordered a coffee. Nice.
Smell my trees, you mother.
Will Chris mentioned Batman? COD's controversy. He's just asking the things that he knows we've clearly talked about. Will Lewis pull an episode 40? I hope he's recorded from this
point. I'm just going to check.
Quite near the end.
We're good.
Start again.
Are we meant to be recording?
Start again from the beginning.
I did triple check like with everyone this time.
Will there be a Skyrim competition?
Peter?
I don't know. Why? Where's this question come from? Who wants a Skyrim competition?
What do you win? Skyrim.
A dragon.
No, that'd be nice.
We can't just give away copies of every game. I hate to point this out, Stephen. We can't give away copies of like every game. We would go bankrupt.
I'm going to skip forwards a little bit through the questions because they're mostly Solid Stephen, and we've answered quite a lot of those already.
Yeah, but maybe questions that aren't just him.
Okay, so Forest01 says, should the Modern Warfare 3 devs really be on bended knee asking for positive feedback from users for Metacritic, or does that just look a bit desperate? And he's linked to
I don't think that they should deign to engage with that kind of user review.
No, like, a 14-year-old kid going, nah, get Assassin's Creed, it's better.
Like, yeah, it's, I don't know. It's people shouting on the internet and people do that. I don't think it makes a bit of difference to what Modern Warfare 3 will do business-wise.
Yeah, exactly.
Have the Modern Warfare devs asked for better
Well,
reviews?
He's linked to a shop2news.net article written by Joe Anderson, in fact, which says as much.
I think they said, look, there's been... people have basically a campaign on Metacritic to get our score down as low as it can go. So
he said, I don't usually do this, but if you like Modern Warfare 3, go to Metacritic.com and help our user score, wrote Glenn Schofield. It's suspiciously low. Be honest, but help if you agree.
Yeah.
And I don't think he needs to do that at all. Like,
I don't think he needs to, but I think if they're going to do that, then that's the way to do it rather than...
Yeah, I don't think they're saying go and be positive. They're just saying go and be honest, mm-hmm. which is the correct way to do it.
But I don't know. I'm also very much of the opinion that once you've developed a game and released it and it's in the review phase, then you just need to shut the fuck up and leave it alone.
Yeah.
Because you only ever end up looking like a fool.
Yeah, you've done your best up to that point. Now it's kind of out of your hands, really.
Yeah.
I'd also say for other franchises, that is certainly a metric that they're measured by, not just the main Metacritic score, but the user score is often taken into account by publishers as well. But for Modern Warfare, Activision don't care. The metric for Modern Warfare is how many millions of copies did it sell? Lots? Brilliant.
Yeah.
Sold lots of millions. Fantastic.
Yep.
I realise I didn't use a voice for that, but he does add at the end of that, so I'll do this in a little voice for you here.
If that doesn't tickle your fancy, which is better, jelly or helicopters?
Oh, that was the voice of the Trade Federation from Star Wars.
Yeah, a little bit. A bit husky.
I quite liked it.
Oh, thanks.
What were the options? What or helicopters?
Jelly or helicopters.
Depends on the context. I wouldn't use jelly for transportation, but I wouldn't eat a helicopter. So
I'd eat a helicopter if I was a dragon.
Yeah.
Peter, you're not a dragon. Stop playing Skyrim.
I'd quite like to be a dragon.
Yeah.
They've got very pretty wings.
If you're a dragon, you probably couldn't use the internet. I don't think there are dragon-sized computers.
Yeah, but I could stand on people.
I mean, that would be an upside, but...
No, we would never do anything to upset the Senate.
Something like that. I can't find the exact quote.
Next question, please.
I think it's actually, the Trade Federation would never ever do anything to... forget it. Forget it. It's episode one anyway, isn't it? So
yeah, that's what they should have done at that point in the film. They should have just gone, forget
just
it.
Just halfway through his line, just go, you know what? Don't bother.
Just leave it here. Can we just have an hour of Darth Maul, please?
Do you think those are all the outtakes from episode one? Just actors saying, oh, what am I doing?
head in hands.
That was the post-release interviews that Liam Neeson did, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah, he was very annoyed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He said he'd never do a film with that much CGI in it ever again.
Yep. Mm. He also said that George Lucas was a fool.
And then after that, Liam Neeson went and made every film ever.
Liam Neeson's been in some pretty good films, though.
Yeah, but also in all of them. Just all the films.
All films, yeah.
Liam Neeson's a legend.
He's just like an extra, is there?
If you just look closely enough in every film, Liam Neeson's there. He's in the future. There's only four characters in the future. Liam Neeson's in there somewhere.
He plays the cat.
The cat is secretly Liam Neeson.
Yep.
Oh, brilliant. If the camera actually rotated, you'd see a cat with Liam Neeson's face. Right, next, I suppose.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just looking up the more Viceroy quotes here. Nothing particularly good. I don't know.
Is that legal?
I don't even know what voice I'm doing now. Right, so, finally, Mugsy Malone.
It's very good, but a little bit racist.
Well, I think that's true to say of the original character, not necessarily my impression.
No, that's what
they're
I meant.
All quite English, aren't they?
Yes, very much so. That film is actually quite interesting in the design, because the Trade Federation are very clearly designed on sort of ancient Chinese-looking characters and costumes, and the Naboo Regal party are all Tibetan.
And the non-regal Naboo race are just Rastafarians?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Mugsy Malone says...
Oh, I like Mugsy Malone.
Why do you think that MMOs haven't really taken off on consoles? Given that consoles account for a fair proportion of the game's playing world, I don't have figures to back that up, but I bet I'm right. World of Warcraft seems to be the dominant title. It's only on PC and Mac. It has literally gajillions of players.
Literally gajillions.
Yeah, you heard it. Literally gajillions.
Literally more players than the population.
Yes, which has reached 7 billion, by the way, so...
Yes.
Well done.
Congratulations, humans.
Yeah. Well done.
Well done for all
hacking up the world.
Sex.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the competition for resources later on.
Unsustainable, right?
Yeah. Still, we're colonized.
It was the quote.
We'll be all right. We live in the West.
That's true.
There was
the West will never fall.
Europe's stronger quote than ever.
There's a good quote I read, which was people who believe infinite growth is possible with finite resources are either mad or economists.
That's too satirical for my brain.
Oh, topical though, because Muggsy Malone is training to be an accountant.
Oh,
yes. I could give you my slightly less topical now, but my super geeky joke that possibly no one will get.
It's all right. Just add a laughter track in afterwards.
It's a physics causality joke.
You've already lost me.
I think I know it already.
What's the joke?
Tell me, and I'll tell you if it's the one, because I don't want to misdeliver it.
Oh, barman says to Neutrino, "We don't serve your kind here." And Neutrino walks into a bar.
Yeah. Although, of course,
causality
no longer relevant because they debunked that whole Neutrino going faster than light theory.
Oh, was it debunked? Yeah.
No, that was much less reported on. But I think it was an error. They forgot to take into calculation the fact that the satellite would move in relative position or something. So it was like, yeah.
I imagine that's a bit like me forgetting to press record. There you go. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Sigh.
No. Well, to be fair, it was a bit mental because, like, the paper they presented took into account, like, ridiculous stuff. Took into account, like, continental drift.
Yeah. And no, like that. In credit to them, they were like, please disprove us. Because they were
like, this seriously, this can't be right.
Yeah.
If this is right, we're like, physics is fucked.
Is
I know an amusing chemistry joke.
Go on.
Oh, what's your chemistry joke?
Helium walks into a bar. Barman says, "I'm sorry, we don't serve noble gases." Helium doesn't react.
I understand some of that. But I liked it, so...
It was quite a good joke. What do you get
It's if, nice just to say some words, to be honest.
Yeah. Sorry.
What do you get if you make a circle of iron atoms? A Ferris wheel.
Oh... Ferrous, because iron's a ferrous metal, you see.
Yes.
Periodic
table.
Why are quantum physicists so rubbish at sex?
I don't know why.
Because, now I don't know if this is too technical, but when they find the position, they can't find the momentum, and when they have the momentum, they can't find the position.
Why are physicists no good in a threesome? They can't solve the free body problem.
No, I don't get it.
No, you've lost me.
A physics maths joke.
To be honest, I just read this one off of Google for physics jokes. I didn't understand it either. So,
see, there probably is. I'm trying to think of computers. There just aren't computer science jokes.
Yeah, there is. How about
there's no jokes to do with like P versus NP.
There are 10 types of people in this world.
Oh yeah, people understand binary and people don't. But that doesn't work if you say 10.
No, I guess it doesn't.
That's because it's a computer science joke. It only works written down on the internet.
It only works printed out on punch cards and fed back into your computer.
Oh, we've just invented a computer science joke.
Hey! Hello. And my work here is done. So Muggsy Malone's actual question was, why do you think that MMOs haven't really taken off on consoles?
Because MMOs spring up not from playing games, but from chat rooms on the internet. More so than console gaming is, it's become more social now, but the social aspect of console gaming has sort of developed over the last 5 years. Whereas MMOs on the PC developed out of social interaction rather than vice versa.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So it's kind of reverse engineering to try and get them onto the consoles.
Imagine an MMO which has like the gameplay of Arkham City. It would just be the best thing in the world.
Yeah, it would be pretty good. I don't know, because I don't really like people.
Well, no, that's true. Maybe an MMO where you could choose who you were in there with.
Also, I don't really like very hard games. And when you're playing against other people, it's always much more difficult.
Yeah.
That's true.
Although, you can play most MMOs like entirely co-op, not having to fight each other, so... Mm. But yeah, no, I agree. Like, when I was back in the City of Hero era... it was basically like MSN with added fighting virtual crime. Like, we were just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is, I mean, even still today, there's much more emphasis on the social interaction in PC MMOs, isn't there?
Mm.
It's all about basically it's all about getting a clan together or a guild or whatever they call them.
Oh, and Guild Wars 2 is coming out next year. I'm quite excited about that.
Squadding up.
My problem is these days, no one really has a PC that they want to play computer games on. Like, because I was trying to get some people to play to download DCU, because most of my friends are Xbox owners, but none of them have a computer that they'd want to play games on, because it's not good enough to do that. So maybe, I don't know, maybe that's just an emphasis shift in, I don't know if it's everyone or just my friend circle or what, but like, I don't really know anyone who's avidly a PC gamer over consoles these days.
My computer hardlocked the last time I tried to play a game on it.
Has anyone played the Doctor Who adventure games free from the BBC?
No. I want to, but it would make my computer hard lock, so no.
I think probably not worth it, to be honest.
I tried playing Half-Life 2, but it didn't work. And then Peter got cross.
So that's it. I tried, Peter.
I tried to play Half-Life 2, and the computer wouldn't let me.
Not good enough, Chris.
Might as well just go out and play some dog shit.
Welcome back, Lewis.
Just trying to make him angry.
He's just been out playing with some dog dude.
Right, I guess it's the end of the podcast.
Feels more authentic.
Okay.
Thank you all for listening to episode 43 of the Oscar Mike Media podcast. I have been, as per usual, your host, Chris Lipsky. I have been joined this week by Peter Chapman, editor-in-chief of sickfaxes.com, who you can get at twitter.com/colossalbio. I've also been joined this week by Lewis Gaston, who you can get at twitter.com/LewisGaston, and who runs screendemon.com. I've also been joined this week by Kev Adset, who you can get at twitter.com/Kevatron400. He doesn't run any sites, sadly.
Well, you say that.
You can get me
no Oscar Mike Media affiliated sites.
You can get me. Do you run any websites that aren't Oscar Mike Media affiliated?
So many. Where do I even begin?
The internet. The rest of the internet. It's Oscar Mike Media, and everything else is run by Kev. Turns
Kev Adser, aka Tim Berners Lee. What a twist! It's Tim Berners Lee.
I didn't see that one coming.
You get me at twitter.com/howpro or on my crazy new website that I made called Everything Out of 10. That's awesome. But it doesn't have anything on it yet.
Is that affiliated with Oscar Mike Media?
No.
You have the bloody decency to keep it off this podcast.
I guess Peter did come up with a name, which doesn't really make it affiliated, but Peter didn't invent the name for it.
All right.
Well, only because you sent me an email saying I need a name for this.
Yeah, you're good at names. I'm rubbish at names.
Siri, what's the best phone?
I think you've already answered that question.
Nice.
So while we listen to this slightly depressing music underneath us, say goodbye, everyone.
Oh, this is awesome music.
Just say goodbye, everyone.
How do I say goodbye in Spanish, Siri?
Adios.
Does Siri know?
Cheers,
no, just asking if I want to search the web. Whatever. Siri prick.
Oh dear.
Bye.
Laters.
Matt Damon.
See you later.
Au revoir.
Good. Bye.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Sayonara. Ting tong tay.
Is that even accurate, or did you just say something that sounded vaguely Chinese?
I think it's Chinese for goodbye, but it may not be. It's all terminal, so.
It's just something that sounds like it might be Chinese.
Yeah. Tschüss. Salut.
Can you say with Japanese? Can you say stuff that just sounds like it might be Japanese?
Podcast wa totemo sugoi desu ne.
Yeah, that sounds like it should be Japanese, but.
Domo arigato!
Mr. Roboto.
Whereas you actually do know Japanese, Kev. Don't
I said podcast is totally cool, isn't it?
Japanese. If you know the Japanese for podcast, I would be amazed. It's not like...
I imagine it's just podcast. Like, I don't think
yeah,
that it's,
yeah, podcasto.
Anything that's say, from this century is just in English. Camera. Computer.
Fucking lazy Japanese.
Hamburger.
Just lazy.
I'm just not trying anymore.
Podcasto, I thought it was a good idea, isn't it?